420.
What's up, everyone? This is the SMO Podcast. I am your host, Joe. Joining as usual, Cole. Cole, how are you doing?
I'm fine. How are you, Joe?
I'm enjoying the fact that this is episode number 420.
Yes.
Because what, I have
are
been...
Are we celebrating?
The episode number.
Yes.
Which is known for marijuana use.
Terms of service violations.
Well, nothing was done on the show.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't think we're technically supposed to, like, well, I don't know. Some people have, like, weed smoking emotes, so we're probably fine.
I mean, I've seen people do it on stream. I don't know what the what the rules are. Like, if it depends on what state that you reside in, if it's something like that,
I would suspect the general rule is you probably shouldn't, but if nobody snitches, they don't care.
I don't know. But again, I didn't do anything on the show.
Okay.
This is just the after effects. I am very fucking relaxed right now.
Like, this is the most relaxed show we've ever seen or heard.
It's been a fun night. My sister came over. We had dinner. And I think she's upstairs right now with Ashley just watching TV or something. So,
did you have tacos for dinner? Because I feel like if you're going to get hot. Okay, we had spaghetti too. But I feel like tacos are like the quintessential 420 food. I say this as somebody who's never got high from weed, but
yeah,
I feel
Taco
like
Bell
if
has
you're
that
going
rep.
To, you have to eat tacos.
Yeah.
Mika said she had tacos.
What kind of tacos?
I don't know if she said that. She just said I had tacos, but then she did the side eyes, so maybe she's talking about a different kind of taco. And it's not one that you actually get nutritional value from.
Oh, six-layer burritos.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, now thing. I feel bad. But, you know, good enough.
Oh, shit. So, yeah, how are you?
Fuzzy.
Fuzzy in what way?
But so I cannot imbibe in the rest of the 420 celebration quite the same way that you guys have. So I took, well, it's raining, so it's not like I just casually took my medication, but I took extra medication to survive the rain.
Yeah.
And so now I'm fuzzy as well, which is kind of standard fare for Thursday night shows anyway.
Yeah.
So I don't know that there's going to be a whole lot different on my end, but I'm also a little on the hyper side because in order to survive, I also needed steroids and I'm kind of running like from wall to wall at this point.
Yeah. Oh,
there, you're gonna fall asleep and I'm just gonna like talk a marathon.
You're going to be the anchor of this show because I'm in another world right now.
I've already sit here and just like sketched out 74 little doodles along my margins for my notes, and we haven't even started doing reviews yet.
We haven't even started news yet. And there was some news week.
There was news this week.
I don't have too much written down. I don't even have my notes pulled up right now. I think the big news that just came out today was it was being reported that the remaining skeleton crew at Telltale Games has also been laid off and the company is basically completely dead.
I am not surprised, but I do feel bad for them because they had like this little glimmer of hope that shit was going to be fine for them for at least a little longer. Like they were going to get a chance to keep working and, you know, look for a job without just being out in the cold like the other 225 people.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're just out in the cold like the other 225 people. Like on one hand, hey, no shit, that happened. It kind of should have been expected, but it still blows.
It seems like just such a complete failure of what happened with that company. And I don't understand how it just came out of nowhere. And now everything's done. It's weird.
You know how I've said in the past that the Culling 2 devs were kind of a case study in how not to be developers? GG Telltale, you're running a tight race here.
Telltale's like, hold my beer.
Yeah.
We'll show you how to fuck up.
They did a good job, and I just don't know. I don't even know, like, what the whole status is for people who bought the final season, if they can get refunds, what even happens with all that?
Has
anything more been said? Because I know when it first happened, we had the same questions, and I still don't know.
There have been no answers because it was assumed that that other company might be finishing up legal requirements, and maybe they felt that, you know, The Walking Dead should be a legal requirement, and that's why they kept the small team on to try finishing it, but it just didn't happen.
I don't imagine that their financial situation is going to get any better with the copious amounts of, that's like the seventh time I've said copious, but it's the most fitting word, copious amounts of lawsuits coming their way. So I don't think it's going to look any better after they pay for lawyers.
Yeah, there was also news today that apparently Telltale was going to be handing off The Walking Dead to be finished to another company. There weren't, from what I read, there weren't any companies named, but it makes you wonder who.
That's a good question. And I wondered how that was all going to play out with Overkill taking on The Walking Dead IP recently as well, not even recently, because it's about to come out, their new Walking Dead game.
Yeah.
And if there was, like, any kind of hitches between that and Telltale's licensing. Although I know there's mobile games, and there was that 360 game Survival Instinct, which I've had in the case over here forever and never touched. But surprise. But I mean, obviously they've licensed Walking Dead to shit tons of people multiple times in the past, but it did seem kind of unusual that it was like, well, here's the final season. Never mind. Fuck you guys. By the way, hi, we're Overkill. We have The Walking Dead now. You know, <Yeah. laughs> it was very rapid fire. And I was like, wait a second.
Well, I think it was a, we have the license as well. I don't know if there's any kind of exclusivity, because don't forget Activision had that really shitty Walking Dead shooter come out a couple years ago.
Wasn't that Survival Instinct?
Yeah.
The one with Norman Reedus in it.
Yeah.
Was that Activision published?
Yeah, I believe so, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And then they have a mobile game and shit, too, because David plays that shit. I can't stand playing it on my phone, but David played the shit out of one of those Walking Dead games on his phone for the longest time. So, I mean, it's not like there was, you know, any kind of big ordeal with licensing to multiple developers, but
yeah,
it did just seem kind of odd that it was very rapid fire. Yeah, I'm not even trying to hide the redneck tonight. Sorry.
Your southern slipped.
Yeah. She's just going to be falling out of my mouth left, right, and center.
That was a good one, though. I don't think I heard that one before.
Never heard me say right before? Wait until I say, like, bizarre instead of desire.
Bizarre.
Oh.
I thought you said bizarre.
I know, well, bizarre sounds funny too. So it's fine. It's okay.
It's all making me giggle tonight.
When in doubt, make fun of my accent. You notice I've just started like telling developers that when we start doing shows or the interviews, I'm just like, look, if you get stuck and don't know what to talk about, make fun of something I said, because I'm sure there will be something that goes over well with some of them and others seem very confused.
Yeah. I love it when they join in though.
Yeah, at this point, it's just a running gag of the show. I talk funny, yay!
Oh well, but yeah, overall, that the whole Telltale situation is shit.
It is.
I
find the whole argument too with people going, "Oh my god, they were laid off without any kind of severance." Maybe it's because Kentucky's a right to work state, and like we don't give people severances here. you got fired. Fuck you. So then, like, everybody's like, oh my God, I can't believe they didn't give him severance and they didn't give him warning and they didn't do. And I'm sitting there going, that happens fucking everywhere all the time. This is not something new to the game. It's a shame. And I appreciate that you guys think it's a shame. But maybe we should change it for everybody and not just game developers.
Yeah.
You know, people lose their jobs all the time and not be a part of a major game developing studio so they don't have social media freaking out and creating coffees and GoFundMes and stuff for them. So I thought it was just a very weird thing to witness from a third person perspective, I guess.
Yeah.
But
I am incredibly blazed right now.
You are floating down a river.
I really am. I thought I was going to get a little bit high. I took a few days off, figured I would get a little bit of a buzz. I did not expect this. I legitimately did not expect this. So
Joe,
I can't.
Is not okay.
I can't wait to re-listen to this show and hear how stupid I am tonight.
You are what we call fuzzy.
Just a little bit.
The funny thing is, like, when I take my meds and I get like that, if I've had to, I'm allowed to take so many per day, and I usually don't take all of them that I'm allotted unless I have a bad day like today where it's raining and shit. Mm-hmm. And so when I do take the extra that I'm allotted, my nose starts to itch. And I will sit there and scratch my nose to death whenever I've taken it. So, like, I'm very liable to get in the middle of the show and just completely lose track of what we're talking about because I'm sitting there digging the shit out of my nose because it's going to be itchy. I don't know why it does it, but it sure as shit does. So if, like, you start talking to me and I just wee out of there, I'm probably scratching my nose.
I'm already feeling wee out of it.
What's our next bit of news?
There was a leak with PlayStation Plus this week where two of the games for November were slipped out. It was announced that Bulletstorm Full Clip Edition and Yakuza Kiwami were going to be part of the PS4 lineup. Sega's European PR rep confirmed that Yakuza is part of the lineup, so the leak looks pretty authentic.
Interesting.
And it was leaked on Sony's site directly anyway, so it kind of was. Yeah, I don't know if they had like a banner up that wasn't supposed to be up, but someone got a screenshot of it, so it was on PlayStation's site.
Yeah, it's not like, you know, Xbox or Walmart Canada. So, so you know, it could very well be. I've never played Bulletstorm, and I've always wanted to. I'm not getting a PlayStation so that I can get Bulletstorm for free, but
I think it's only like $20 or something on Xbox.
Only.
Yeah. It's I don't think it's full price anymore. That's the point.
Yeah.
Because it launched at 40.
It goes on sale pretty regularly. Did it really launch at 40?
Yep.
How do you remember that when you're blazed off your brain?
I don't fucking know.
I'm more amazed by that part than anything else.
Yeah, and it included that Duke Nukem bonus.
Oh yeah, it did. God damn, Joe.
What?
You turn into like a video game Google.
I still have some knowledge. God damn it. So Do you think the leak was maybe kind of intentional to get some buzz up since a lot of people thought that this month's PlayStation Plus lineup wasn't that great?
No. Not Sony, no. Like, they are tight-lipped motherfuckers.
No.
But they really are. They don't. I don't see them being the ones to purposely leak shit. Like, somebody's lost their job because they put in the wrong date on that motherfucker. That's exactly what's happened there. We're gonna have to set up a GoFundMe for that guy because he ain't getting severance either.
Fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
He fucked up. Let's see what other news. Last bit of news that I have. I didn't find that much interesting this week, but last bit of news I have is there are reports from the Wall Street Journal of a new model Nintendo Switch releasing as early next year.
Really?
Yes, like a more improved. There was some information that was leaked to the site ReviewTech USA that claims the features of it are going to be a ploy to maintain relevance in the next gen. So they want to be more current. It's supposedly going to be on par with the base PS4 power-wise, allegedly.
Hmm. I know that people had some problems with, like, the way the ports were laid out and stuff, too. Like, you could only use, wasn't it, like, there's one of the jacks only works when it's docked. Is it the headphones?
I don't know.
I feel like I read a post somewhere that, like, the headphone jack or something like that only worked when it was docked. And so, like, somebody was pissed because their kid was trying to use the headphones and literally had to sit, like, 15 inches away or whatever that cord length was. And it was just stupid. And
I've sworn I've used headphones on my Switch before.
It seems like it was, I don't know why I'm convinced it was the headphone jack is the thing that bothers me. I don't know. And I don't know how I'd find it again either. That's not all the news though this week.
I wasn't even done with the Switch specs.
Okay, well then keep going.
Yeah, they're claiming it's going to be on base with the, or on par with the base PS4. Okay. It's going to supposedly have 256 to 512 gig of storage on board, which would be really friggin' handy as opposed to, I think it's 32.
I was about to ask how much is on there right now.
It's not a lot.
Yeah. I seem to remember everybody bitching when they first come out. They were like, that's it. And then they were like, well, hopefully the games are tiny, but they're not because they're the same size as they are pretty much everywhere else almost. So,
well, some of them.
Yeah.
Nintendo's pretty good with their sizes, but some.
I mean, you're not getting, 100 gigabyte Master Chief Collection, but.
Like, you can still get a 40 gig NBA game because 2K doesn't know how to restrain themselves.
Restraints for pussies.
Should that be said?
Probably not.
Oh, well.
Too late. Done now. Keep going. Speaking of dicks.
The supposed official announcement is going to be in January, but the leak was planned to keep investors happy. What do you think of that? Intentional? Is this real?
How does a leak keep investors happy?
To get people talking about new product, to get buzz.
But, like, you can have that kind of buzz. Nintendo doesn't need to drum up buzz the same way, like, an Ouya would. You know what I mean? Yeah. People know what a Nintendo is. Either you intend to buy a Nintendo or you don't. Nobody accidentally buys a Nintendo. You know?
Yeah. Whoops, it happened.
Impulsively, maybe, but not accidentally. And so I would be really hard-pressed to find a home in America who doesn't know what a Nintendo is. Like, my in-laws couldn't tell you shit about gaming if they had to, but if I walked over there and was like, have you seen a Nintendo Switch? They'd be like, yeah. Because who the fuck hasn't?
True.
So I find the whole need to publicly try to drum up interest odd via a leak. When you could just easily, like, send out an email blast to investors and be like, here's what we're working on. You want to help us? Who's going to turn down Nintendo?
True.
So it just seems like an odd move to me. I have so many doodles. I can't keep up with what I was actually writing that was important. who's going to turn down Nintendo to the point that, they have to be like, oh, we have to covertly leak something to get people talking about us. We haven't trended on Twitter in 27 minutes. We need to do something covert.
No.
It's just weird.
I don't know. I think it could be real. I worry that, like, the Switch is only out a year and a half now, and if they're already releasing a new model, how pissed are customers going to be?
True, but it's not to say it's not necessary, though, because there are things on the Switch, and I know you included, people who have a Switch love a Switch, but if you look at it objectively, there are some design flaws.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So, I can't say I blame them for wanting to go back and fix the shit that people are like, what are you doing? because they should, but it does seem early in the cycle to do that.
Yeah, especially to leap up to supposed PS4 level specs. Portable.
That's also pretty impressive. And I think that it's a good thing. If they can pull that off, I think it's a good thing because it will show Sony and Microsoft that that's a viable market, that the handheld market with decent specs, not just, you know, tablets and mobile, but actual handhelds are still a viable market that people will pay for.
Yeah. I just wonder if it's realistic to get those specs in a handheld the size that Nintendo would want, because that's a lot of power.
I don't know. I mean, what were those specs hold up compared to, like, an iPad specs?
I have no clue.
Or a Surface.
True.
I mean, can you game on a Surface 5 or a Surface? Is there a Surface 5?
I have no clue.
But I know they just announced the Surface 6. So, I mean, presumably you can game on a Surface 6. So, if it could handle, you know, games, then why the hell wouldn't a Switch be able to do it as well?
True. I wonder if they would try going full backward compatible with all of the current Switch games on this new Switch Plus EX HD Remix, whatever.
They'd have to. They'd really have to. There's no way they can swap to a new game system like that early and get away with that without people being pissed if there was not some kind of backward compatibility. Like, they might be Nintendo and they can get away with some shit, but that's a little excessive even for them.
Like, it makes you wonder if they would include a separate Switch port on the system or if they would just keep the carts the same shape as the Switch.
Yeah. Didn't they do with the Nintendo 3DS and then the 2DS? Like, they just completely redesigned it into the 3DS into the 2DS and made the cartridges and everything were the same?
Pretty much, yeah.
So you could just see them taking that same route for the Switch and just being like, hey, we fixed what you bitched about. You know, give us more money. And people are going to do it because Nintendo.
Yeah, chances are I would do it as well.
I have no doubt that you would be first in line.
The alleged price of the thing is supposedly going to be $399. So it looks, again, like a premium product.
Wow. How much is a regular Switch?
$299.
Ooh. That's a pretty hard sell, though, when you can get, I mean, obviously it's not portable, but you can get an Xbox for what, an Xbox One S is what, $229 now?
Yeah, I'm sure later on this year it'll drop to $199.
And then the Surface Go is, I believe that's $399 for starters. Now I want to look it up. If you can use the Xbox Play Anywhere with Surface Go, I would assume yes.
Yeah, I have no clue. That'd be crazy if you could run Forza on a Surface. That'd be cool as shit.
We got time. Can I go Google this? Because I really want to know now.
You could Google it. Go ahead.
Let's see what it says. Xbox Play Anywhere. We ain't
doing shit else on this show.
I know. We're moving at the speed of smell. If we go any slower, it's going to be episode 419.
Ba-dum-tsh.
Hey, anyway. Hold on. What is this? Look. We're going to see what Windows Central says about it. That's provided that my computer doesn't explode from all their advertisements.
It might.
Yeah. It very blocker. Well.
Gotta go with
They have a block on Windows Central where if you have an ad blocker, you can't see anything.
Oh, that's some shit.
Yeah. This is basically like, are they dropping the ball with Play Anywhere? Which isn't what I'm going for. I just want to know if it works on a Surface Go. Like, there should be I can't be the only person to wonder this. Type.
Clickety clack. Meanwhile, I'm sitting here watching the football game as well.
Okay. To whoever listens to this later.
Oh, God, no. Nobody should listen to this episode. I don't
that's
even.
What you're gonna, That's what you're going to title it. Nobody should listen to this episode.
Episode 420. Please don't listen.
We're just, I'm sorry. My God, my computer goes any slower.
I'm so bummed we're the only two here right now.
I'm sorry, but I showed up.
You did. I'm proud of you.
Like, Jacob probably just forgot about us. He was like, oh, we're not going to do something.
I swear to God, I thought he knew. I thought that was the whole reason he came up this past weekend was because he knew it was this tonight. But I guess he didn't know. And I thought he did.
Why? Why is this tab not going?
Doesn't like us.
Is Xbox playing and I had to install. These are not the questions that I have. Come on.
That'll be your homework for next week, if we remember this conversation at all.
Hold up. Wait. Let's see. Here's a Reddit thread. Oh, it's like 2 years old, but we'll see. This is asking. There is actually a whole Reddit for Surface Gaming.
Oh, wow.
My experience with the Surface Go Gaming. Like, do we have to give this guy credit if I read any of this?
I don't know. You probably should.
Oh, well, I'll tell you his name when I get here. Let's see. He would have some kind of, I'm assuming it's a he. Look at me. They would have some kind of fucked up French name. Chevrolet. I don't know how to say this. We're going to call him Chevrolet. And
I was going to ask if it was Chevrolet.
No, it's like, I don't know.
Chevrolet.
But it's not, yeah, maybe. But it is not spelled like Chevrolet. But sure as fuck what it sounds like in my head.
You go with what you know, I guess.
So yeah, this person has a list of Steam games that work. So it does seem perfectly viable to play games on a Surface Go.
And the best part is it would probably work with an Xbox controller.
Yeah, because it has natively. Yeah. Like, here's people saying they've played Stardew Valley. I wish I could see if somebody had Play Anywhere titles. Now, Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3 did not play.
Ooh.
But that was on the lowest settings, and the complaint was frame drops, and obviously it being a fighting game, that's a problem.
Yeah.
20XX had some frame drops. Tokyo Dark, because there aren't really a lot of options in the game settings. Games that did play but weren't optimal: Portal 2, Resident Evil Revolutions, Tomb Raider Underworld, Sonic Mania. Games that played fine included Sega Mega Drive, Mini Metro, Half-Life 2, Binding of Isaac, Metal Slug 3, Prison Architect, Wonder Boy, Rogue Legacy, Celeste, Stardew Valley. So yeah, it's perfectly viable.
Yeah.
To play some games on a Surface Go.
Might not get something like Forza, but, you know, you could still get some good stuff.
Yeah, and I would assume that something like a Surface 6 would be even better and have a better list of playable games. So,
yeah.
It's kind of like Microsoft wants to get into that little handheld section, but not quite. Not without forcing you to get a license for Microsoft Word, yeah. Office 365. You know, you can play anywhere games, but first you need
make Office. Make sure you 365. Have OneNote installed or.
Yeah. OneDrive.
Which is what I use for my notes anyway. Off the news.
Yeah. But, and I don't even remember what news we were talking about. The Switch.
Yeah.
But I'm glad we did figure that out, because now we know. So, yeah.
But, yeah, that's the news I have. I know you had some news as well.
Yeah, Google is getting into the game streaming marketplace, I guess to say. And they have created Project Stream. And the whole point of that is to let people test streaming games to their PCs through Google Chrome.
Hmm.
No hardware necessary.
Just from your browser.
From what I understand, as long as you can connect to the internet on your browser and have a decent enough, you know, speed to handle streaming, you can play the game. I was even able to sign up for the beta, and it doesn't ask any questions about your processor or GPUs or anything. It's just, give us your email. Do you have Chrome? Okay.
You should sign up for that shit.
Yeah. So it's the first game that they are introducing through this will be through their little beta, and they're just kind of going to randomly pick people who sign up for it. And I think there it is. I was going to say, I think I closed the tab, but I did not. I'm good.
Dark Mika is saying you need amazing internet, like jizz yourself internet.
I have that, though. I mean, I don't know why.
I don't know if I have that.
We have damn good internet.
Sometimes I have what I think is decent, but probably not like jizz yourself.
Yeah, amazing. My internet speed is good. My router is ass. So I need to get a new router. But the first game that you will be able to play starting October 5th. So, of course, we're streaming this on the 4th. Whenever Joe gets this shit uploaded to YouTube.
The 6th.
It's probably already started. but starting on the 5th, they're going to choose a limited number of participants. And you will be able to stream Assassin's Creed Odyssey to your Chrome browser on your whatever type of PC laptop that you have. So yeah, it's a very interesting situation, seeing as it's coming from Google, first of all.
Yeah.
Like,
what's the partnership with Ubisoft as well?
Right, because Ubisoft is usually pretty buddied up with Microsoft.
Yeah.
And I thought that Microsoft had most of the rights as far as marketing went for Assassin's Creed. So when I saw that, I was like, what? Wasn't expecting that. Okay.
That'd be cool to get into to just play it for free. That'd be neat.
Okay, here it says, Project Stream is geared toward home internet connections capable of 25 megabits per second.
Oh, yeah, I have that.
So, yeah, same.
I'm supposed to have 200, but it's usually around like 80.
Fuckers. Nah, I have 250 down, 250 up. So,
yeah, I'm supposed to have 200. Supposed to.
We tend to tap out around 200, although it is supposed to be 250. And again, that's that shitty router that we've got. It's not even got a name brand. It's like Zygob or something like that.
Zygob.
Yeah. And I'm just like, okay, well, you're a thing. It's the worst router I've ever seen in my life. But
it doesn't sound too demanding.
No, I was really surprised.
It's
no time says I'm supposed to have internet, but sometimes it doesn't work at all.
Yeah.
I wondered if this wasn't kind of a direct take. Wasn't PS Now, doesn't it originally, I think they changed it recently to where you can actually download the games, but wasn't it originally just you streamed the games?
Well, you can download some of the games, not all of them. Mm-hmm. I think it's only PS4 and the PS2 classic games you could actually download. But there's no way to actually download and play PS3 games at all. So none of those work. What was the question? I forget.
But if that was the way that PS Now works, that's kind of the same setup that streaming. Google's going for through.
Goddamn.
Through Chrome, correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
You're just streaming video and sending button commands. That's basically how you're playing. A lot of people complain almost about the lag. The button line.
Almost kind of like controller sharing on Mixer.
Yeah.
Interesting. I don't know why I didn't put the two and two together with the controller sharing before, but I compared it more in my head to PS Now and it being streaming gameplay like that. But it's interesting to see how that's going to work out, if it's really going to prove viable for lower end PCs. Like, I don't play shit on my PC for the very reason that it explodes every time I open a browser tab. Yeah. So I'm curious to see how it would do. I did sign up for the Project Stream, but I haven't gotten anything saying I was approved for it yet.
Well, cross it doesn't start till tomorrow when we're recording, right? Maybe you'll hear that. Right.
But I was under the impression like they'd be like, surprise, you're in, and give you some kind of preparatory links where you give them PC information so that they can compare. This is how it worked on this kind of PC. That's what I would think the testing would be for. Like, I'm stuck on the whole idea of making it work on a shitty PC.
Yeah.
It just really seems far-fetched to me that that's going to work out well.
It'd be neat, though.
It would, because I'd be able to play stuff that I might not be able to play now. I might not, like, my computer runs anything.
Does it run anything?
The Sims 3.
That's not too awful.
And it's laggy. Gets a little unruly at times. I only have one expansion pack for it, because I was too afraid to buy more, thinking it would bog it down too much and my computer would explode. So
I can't handle more game.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to mouse and keyboard support on Xbox. Hoping like hell that I just want that to the Sims to be like, yeah, we support that. And I'm like, okay, yay. I can play this game again.
I mean, I think technically they already can make it to support mouse and keyboard, because there are some mouse and keyboard games out there already.
There were some already out there, and Microsoft did announce official support and that they were partnering with Razer to make an Xbox specific keyboard.
Yeah.
So it is available to insiders officially, and that it's just, they've just kind of gone, yes, it's out there. Yes, it's available, insiders only, and it's up to developers. So EA, if they never do anything else right as far as games goes, just please update The Sims 4 so I can use a goddamn mouse. I'm asking for.
I worry mouse and keyboard making its way into shooters, because that would just completely kill the scene.
I suspect that most shooters developers are going to be like, this would be problematic, and not take up the offer. Because since it's up to developers and it's not a requirement, I don't see them going, yeah, sure, put them in there, you know?
Yeah.
So I suspect they're going to go, nah, it's cool. We're going to keep doing what we're doing. It works. And maybe we could just see keyboard and mouse as far as, you know, strategy games and things like that go. I mean, Surviving Mars, Avon Colony, The Sims, there are so many games, City Skylines, that would just benefit so much from a mouse.
Yeah.
That I would put up, if they said, you have to have mice and keyboard in shooters now because you have it everywhere else, I'd be like, it's fine, whatever, just let me play The Sims with a mouse. It's that important.
Oh, Lord.
I'll take my ass whoopings. I have hair trigger locks now, so whatever.
Oh, man, that would probably scare me away from shooters for good.
You're not particularly good at shooters in the first place, though.
Exactly, which is why if mouse and keyboard players come in, I'm unbelievably fucked.
Yeah, I'm good at them, so I don't particularly mind. Like the thought of
shooters. Yeah.
Look, we all got our skill sets and laughs.
I'm good at Tetris.
Some of us are good at puzzles.
Yo.
Some
of
us are good at. Yo.
That's a voice.
Yo.
Yo. Welcoming to the show, after all the goddamn news was talked about, Jacob, how you doing?
I'm pretty good. How about you?
Good. It's nice of you to join us.
Thank you. I apologize. I had to make a run to Turkey Hill.
Oh, Jesus.
Does Turkey Hill have turkeys? Did you bring the rest of us turkey sandwiches?
No, but I brought you hills.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, there aren't very many of those where you live, Cole.
Are you sure?
That was sarcasm.
Okay. Just making sure.
Oh, God.
Like, the way you said it, I wasn't entirely sure. Like, I'm sitting there going, is he being sarcastic or is he just that clueless right now?
Little column A, little column B. Yeah,
a little bit of both. It's okay.
So is there, like, any news left to discuss or what?
What do you think of mouse and keyboard support?
Which what?
Mouse and keyboard support on Xbox. What do you think?
I think that's pretty awesome.
Nailed it.
I can see it being a huge boon for MMOs, because I feel like it's one of the things holding me back from playing DC Universe Online and Star Trek Online on my Xbox One. because the controls are pretty crazy.
Are they?
Yeah, I had a real hard time with DC Universe, and I'm also not thrilled that they don't let you import your PC character.
That would be interesting to see more games, too, where you could...
You know, you could have your character input hop your between characters. Consoles and yeah. stuff like that, yeah.
I know that during a stream last week, Xbox Quick was talking, and he was just giving his opinion. It wasn't anything as far as like an Xbox plan or anything like that before anybody jumps on that. But he was just casually saying, you know, like in his mind, you should be able to have cross-play, cross-saves, cross-buy. You know, right. if you've bought it once, you're done. You should be able to take it wherever you want to play. That's yeah. It's a fairly legitimate argument. The whole idea of buying something multiple times
is a little came up. That even came up in our chat with Zen about wanting to buy something and having it everywhere.
Yeah, yeah. So I mean, it's obviously a more customer centric move to make,
mm-hmm.
which means you can probably guess who wouldn't want to make that kind of move. But ideally. It's a good idea. I just don't know if it's going to pan out because money always wins.
Oh, and obviously, how long did it take Fortnite to get to where it's at now? Come on.
Have we talked about that on the show, by the way? Fortnite has crossplay with PlayStation 4 and Xbox now.
And Switch.
Yeah, and Switch. Yeah. And PC. Yeah. And I believe they... Well, I don't know if Switch is currently involved in the crossplay. Or
yeah, they are. They are.
One of them... I know they were hoping to... add mobile in too, so literally it would be all one ecosystem,
which would be awesome.
It's really the best idea, though, if you can think about it, having your player base fractured by console or by system or whatever doesn't make sense for developers. And we hear this from developers when we've talked to them about, oh, are you interested in adding multiplayer? And they go, look, that shit's expensive because they have to think about it as a fractured ecosystem. How many more developers could afford to actually add multiplayer to their games if they only need one set of servers instead of five?
Yeah. Someone has the giggles.
That was incredibly complex, Cole.
Sorry.
It's okay.
It's okay. It's the steroids talking. Whee!
Oh,
my bad. I won't remember this tomorrow, so it's fine.
It's all my good. Anxiety, neither will I.
My anxiety gives no fucks right now.
like I said before, I'm scared to listen back to this when I do editing.
Why? You know what? You should make this episode exactly 4 hours, 20 minutes.
I don't think I want to talk to you that long.
Dude, we may end up doing that.
It might be an accident.
That's just because Jacob wants to talk about Just Cause 3.
Mika says we need less multiplayer games in general, and she'd rather have good single player. I like Agreed. Multiplayer games. I know that a lot of people go, oh, I just want single player experiences. But I like multiplayer. I like being able to drag my friends along and creating goofy stories from our experiences and sharing a game together. I like a good single player. Look, when I got the Division, everybody was like, oh my God, let me carry you through so we can go play in the Dark Zone. And I hit offline for a week and played that shit on my own. So... I get it.
Cole?
Sometimes, yeah.
Cole, what the hell are you talking about?
Playing games single player versus multiplayer.
In a specific game?
Just no, in general.
Oh, I got confused.
Like, she wants more multiplayer in general. My only concern with more multiplayer in general is that you get games like the original Tomb Raider where they just tacked on a shitty multiplayer aspect that no one really played and wasn't very good, and you got to wonder what resources were taken out of the main game to do that. The main game itself was fantastic the way it was, but could it have been improved if they didn't bother with the multiplayer at all?
And I can understand that because Assassin's Creed did that. I was so excited for Assassin's Creed Unity to have multiplayer. I was so looking forward to co-op. Oh my god, I can finally drag my friends through Assassin's Creed with me. They had never even played an Assassin's Creed. And now I'm going to drag them through one. And it was really bad. Yeah. We played it and we completed it, but it was bad. I say, oh, I'd like more multiplayer in general. I'd like good multiplayer.
Like Gears of War, where it has a solid single player and awesome multiplayer.
Right. Like, there are games that have absolutely no business having a multiplayer aspect. If you put a multiplayer in Hellblade, it would lose its punch. That's just the long and short of it.
Oh, you don't want a multiplayer shooter with Hellblade?
Nope. Maybe like you could have two opposing teams locked in areas and you had to match up the runes to unlock the areas until you got to the center and then had a knockdown drag out brawl style. Why am I giving away game ideas? That was actually a pretty good idea.
That is a good idea.
I would play that. You're welcome, whoever picks that up 24 years from now, because nobody's going to listen to this tomorrow. Just give us a
special thanks in the credits. That's all we ask.
Yeah. My name's Cole Martin. But in all reality, not every game needs multiplayer, but I would like to see it present in more games. There's a lot of times when I do play games and I review it and I go, aw, I would have liked to just been able to have somebody else struggle along with me.
Yeah.
You know, Ark would have blown chunks if you didn't have a friend.
Oh, God. You know? Yeah.
And Conan was awful by yourself. But as soon as you joined a server and you made a tribe and you were working together, it was just a whole different game. So and sometimes it works. And obviously, Hellblade never would not work, would not work with multiplayer. But the option for it should be there. If a developing studio wants to go that route, they shouldn't be locked out of it simply because they can't afford to create a multiplayer for every ecosystem.
No. What do you think, Jacob?
Jacob thinks tractor fires.
Actually, I'm like, these nachos are pretty good.
Now I want nachos, you dirty bastard.
The best part is like tomorrow Joe's going to be editing this thing like very faintly in the background. You're going to hear this like crunch.
Old school crunch cast. Yeah. You know, I wish Chris was here.
Chris.
He was always good about crunch casts.
Maybe that's why he's not here. Maybe he had to make a run for Taco Bell so he could crunch cast later.
He said he had an emergency show come up down in Florida, so he's on the road. So, hey, music, man.
Yeah, emergency show with Taco Bell. I'm just stuck on Taco Bell tonight. Maybe we'll get sponsored.
That would be amazing.
That would be amazing.
Do the tweets, mention Taco Bell.
Yeah.
That'd be pretty awesome, even if we just got a shout-out.
Right?
That'd be hilarious.
I've seen fast food companies send shit out to streamers and podcasters and shit before, so it wouldn't be a shot in the dark.
It's the Taco Bell 420 episode. Close. That'd be, it's like episode 420, we're sorry, sponsored by Taco Bell.
Hashtag not an ad.
Wish it were an ad.
Yeah. Look how good we are at shilling your shit when we're messed up.
I'm not the biggest Taco Bell fan, but every now and then they have some really good stuff that I enjoy, like their steak wraps or their nacho Crunchwrap fries Supremes. Are the shit.
Crunchwrap Supremes make the world go round.
Yeah, they're pretty good. Although, personally, I really like Taco Bell's breakfast menu.
The breakfast Crunchwraps are good.
Oh, yeah, God, they are. Yeah. And it's honestly, it's the only fast food breakfast that I can eat without feeling like a piece of shit.
I can handle McDonald's like biscuits and gravy and hash browns, but it just makes me sad for real biscuits and gravy. I'm like, I could have done this at home and done it better.
The fuck's that?
What?
Oh, I think my wife put on the TV.
Oh, God.
Well, now we get Victorian music in the background.
Oh, Christ.
We're going to have another Game of Thrones night.
I'm going to get a copyright strike. Yeah, I don't care. Whatever.
You'd be like Shiz when he posted his Forza to YouTube and he got 45 copyright strikes because he was flipping 40? Through the radio stations.
Oh, jeez.
Mm-hmm. He went flipping 40? Through the radio station and got 40. He was like, I uploaded it and it said 11, and then like an hour or two later it said 45.
Oh, my God.
But yeah.
Were they all the ones that they're going to have advertisements on it, or are they like, no, you're not allowed to have this video?
The video still showed, because that's when he was telling me about it. He was like, will you check and see if this is visible? And I was like, yeah, I still see it. So, yeah, I guess just probably not letting him monetize it, but I don't think that's an issue for him as far as that goes anyway. It's kind of the same.
Maybe all the copyright strikes have to fight it out to see which one actually stands.
which one actually gets the money. Because isn't that how it works? If you get a copyright strike, but they let the video stay up, like any monetization from that video goes to the copyright holder. Yeah. But if there's 45 copyright claims.
Oh, trust me. I'll make sure they get every cent.
It'll be like Battle Royale of the copyright claims.
You get 1/13th of a cent. You get 1/13th of a cent.
Just drop them onto an island and let them fight over who gets the money. And it still would only be like a quarter anyway. Terrible. Fight to the death for 12 cents.
Oh, man. So, what's going on in your world, Jacob?
I'm still rocking these nachos.
I'm trying to get you to talk about Just Cause.
Sorry, man.
Since you said you wanted to talk about it.
Speaking of dicks.
Speaking of dicks. Jacob's here. Dick.
Sorry about that. Oh, man.
He's struggling.
Yeah.
Nice. I thought I was struggling. Nope, not anymore.
You guys need some of my prednisone.
I am doing great now.
So what am I supposed to talk about?
You wanted to come on and talk about Just Cause and your adventures in that game.
Oh, man.
Jesus Christ.
All right. So this is actually the first game in the series I've ever played, but it's pretty much like GTA with a grappling hook and a jetpack. So, I mean, that in itself is pretty cool, like running around the island and like flying around and blowing up stuff. But honestly, the story missions suck. They are such a pain in the ass on that.
Really? Why?
Yeah. It's just like the controls for the flight suit really aren't that good. And you're expected to make like all these like, you're supposed to hit a bunch of stuff within, like, a certain amount of time, or, like, I don't know. It's just certain parts of the game are not well thought out. At the same time, it's very fun. Like, I've already freed, I think it's, like, 95% of the isle. There's only, like, three. Yeah, and the thing is that I know I'm only, like, I can't be more than a third of the way through the storyline.
That's amazing that you avoided the story that much.
Well, it lets you. Like, all I've been doing is running around freeing, like, little providences or territories or whatever they're called. I've got most of the island free. I didn't think I had, but I discovered that last night. But, yeah, I mean, that's one of the things that's cool about that. Another thing I think is cool is that, like, I've been able to get as far as I am with doing minimal of the challenges. Like, you know, you can drive or shoot or flight suit or all that kind of stuff, different challenges. And I've beaten most of the game without having to do it. So I think that's a neat feature by the developers, like that they're realizing not everyone's going to be able to excel at it, but you know, you can at least get to the end. Yeah, and you can at least get to the end of the game, you know, with some difficulty to it, but you can get there without having to get all the power-ups and stuff like that. So, true. I think that's pretty neat. I think I spent like $15 for it because it was on sale and it came with all the DLC.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think Avalanche Games, I'd say it's solid enough, but it was also it's also incredibly frustrating a lot of the time too. But for $15, heck yeah.
Have you guys seen the rumored new Avalanche project?
Yeah, the Harry Potter game.
Yeah, Harry Potter RPG. Cole, have you seen that?
I have heard muttering about it, but I haven't actually seen anything.
There's leaked footage online.
Is there? Mm-hmm. See, I don't... I was too old for Harry Potter, like, when it became a thing. But my oldest daughter loves it. Like, everything has to be Harry Potter all the time. She's a Hufflepuff. everything Harry Potter. So, I forgot to tell her that I saw rumors about this. She can probably hear me right now. And she's probably sitting in her room going... She'll be excited. And isn't there there's a Lego Harry Potter coming out soon, too.
Yeah, end of the month, Lego Harry Potter collection. It takes Lego Harry Potter 1 and 2 from last gen, throws them together, and re-releases.
Oh, so it's just a re-release. Is it not backward compatible?
No.
Oh, well, I did not know it was
and this a re-release. This is two games in one.
Oh.
Wait, you what's get the whole story.
Lego Harry Potter and Lego Harry Potter 2.
I'm assuming it's remastered and not a re-release, right?
Did they make a Fantastic Beasts game?
No.
I don't think they have. I don't think Fantastic Beasts has done as well as they were hoping it would.
I think there's enough of a backlash about Johnny Depp being yet again the bad guy.
Eh.
I wonder if they'll do any like stunt casting and get Daniel Radcliffe in for something. Just to... link it to Harry Potter.
They are working on Harry Potter and the Cursed Child for they're going to turn it into a movie.
Are they?
Yeah, they filed the paperwork for it like pretty much once the project was announced. So it is going to get turned into a movie. I think it's like, but they're not even going to think about it till like 2025 or something like that.
I would be very surprised. I'd be surprised because I know Daniel Radcliffe has said in interviews before that he was just pretty much like, yeah, that was a thing I did and I'm done. And he didn't really have any interest in reprising the role of Harry Potter again, which makes sense. If you've seen some of the stuff that he's done since then, it's very different.
Oh, yeah.
So, hey, enough zeros on the paycheck could convince anyone.
Exactly. You might not be wrong. Which also, while I'm thinking of it, Chris Evans is, he's done filming Avengers 4. Mm-hmm. And so he's also, like, that's his last movie as Cap.
Oh, wow.
So,
yeah. Yeah, the internet has been wild about that today. I saw the first Avengers movie and I haven't seen any of the others since. So I was just kind of like, okay, well, I am not attached to this.
I've only seen, like, two or three of them, if that, and I think I own half of them on Blu-ray. I just haven't watched them.
Are you trying to say that your movie collection has the same plague as your video game collection?
Yeah.
Damn.
Jacob?
What?
Confirm, deny?
It could be worse. It could be my movie collection.
True. Yeah, you've got a pretty crazy one.
It's although over
good chunk thousand. Are mine.
Yeah, pretty decent, yeah.
That's insane. You guys need interventions.
Yeah.
Or more nachos.
I'm only going to say you can have more nachos if you're sharing nachos with me. And you're not. So no more nachos.
The only thing I have at my desk are Belvita crackers.
That sucks.
No, they're pretty good. They taste like graham crackers.
I'm sure that they are.
Those are actually pretty. Yeah, I like those Velveeta crackers. I don't have anything at my desk currently because I had to make number one take the candy buckets away. My sister, I think I talked about this last year. My sister started a tradition when number one was born, where she gives the kids a bucket full of candy at the 1st of October to tide them over until they go trick-or-treating. Like, there was one year that before 2 and 3 were born, she gave number one a 15-pound bucket of candy.
Holy Jesus crap.
Christ.
Like, that shit.
Are you sure it wasn't Christmas?
Well, and that's the thing. Like, like, her idea is you can just let her eat candy whichever she wants. And I'm one of those strict moms where I'm like, fucking no. And so then I have to be the bad guy and be like, you can only have one piece of candy after dinner when there's a 15-pound bucket of candy sitting on the table.
15 I love my pounds, sister. Jesus Christ.
She doesn't – I would imagine that you could take all three buckets and they would still weigh 15 pounds altogether. It's just that now she splits it up between three kids instead of just giving it to one. But like she,
Jesus.
You know how you get those big Easter baskets and like they've got candy in them and they're wrapped in the cellophane and everything?
Yeah.
That's what she does, but with a Halloween bucket.
Oh my God.
And she will fill it up to the point that she has to literally start taping stuff to the top to keep it from falling out. And then she puts a cellophane bag around it.
Oh my God.
And that's just the pre-bucket. And then we go there. I don't get to have Christmas and Thanksgiving with my sister because I get stuck with my in-laws. Mm. So, and then of course she used to get stuck with her in-laws, but her father-in-law passed.
Get stuck is such a good way to put it too.
Yeah. So we don't get to have the holidays together. Halloween is our holiday. And we go up to her house and, you know, we do trick-or-treating there, pull the kids out of school early, and just make a big day out of it.
So it is Christmas.
Kind of. just with candy instead of presents. But yeah, it's she will give them another bucket full of candy when we go there for trick or treat as well. Then she'll bake like cookies and fudge and get pizza and they'll sit there and like gorge on junk food and I pray the whole way home that they don't vomit. Because it's a 30-mile drive.
Oh, Jesus.
And if you know anything about me, you know that praying doesn't have a lot of effect for people like me. And you just sit there the whole way, and my husband's like, are you okay? And I'm sitting there with my eyes closed in the passenger seat going, please nobody puke, please nobody puke, please nobody puke.
Jacob will be thinking that in about an hour.
Yeah.
Oh, the nachos. Oh, God, the nachos. So how you feeling, Jacob? You still doing good down there?
Yeah, I'm pretty good. A lot of inner monologue.
What's it saying? Why am I doing this? Why am I doing
actually, this? Actually, you're fairly close in a way. I'm just like, this is going to end up being the most boring episode of the SML podcast. I know it.
Hey, we thanks talked about some good news. Me.
I can carry this shit. I've got this.
I'm not accusing you, Cole. I'm just like, three people sitting around mics giggling and rambling about video. That's an average episode.
That's a normal episode. What are you talking about? That's the reason we have four viewers and three of them are us.
Yeah, boy.
Fair. You know, I got it in those video game codes.
I wonder if I should drop a code. That'd be fun, wouldn't it?
I'd laugh if I was the one to get it.
I was going to say, I think we'd end up fighting over it.
Let's do...
You get no time being so nice. That's every episode, and it's great. Thank you for being awesome, no time. You probably shouldn't lie to us, but thank you all the same.
Yeah, this is not like every episode at all. We are feeling good tonight, let me tell you that.
Yeah, we are. Oh, man.
So, Jacob, how has your time been in Forza 3?
I haven't really played it since when I was over at your house.
Forza 3 or 4?
Forza 3, because he doesn't have Forza 4.
What?
I know. Yeah. He has, like, kids and stuff.
But Game Pass.
I don't have Game Pass.
Don't you have a trial of it?
Probably, but I don't have a hard drive or an internet. I mean...
Don't you have a Twitter? You can win codes.
I don't have a big enough hard drive, and my internet speeds suck enough to make it not worthwhile while we're living here.
I don't want to hear about big enough hard drives. I don't have an external on either of my Xboxes.
How big is your Xbox?
I have a 1 terabyte on my S, and on the fat Xbox we had the... Yeah, but for up until
twice the size of mine, and
up until 8 months ago, that's that's what I had was the fat Xbox. So, and actually that's in number one's room now. She has it. So, I still got to delete that shit. I have 700 games, man.
Yeah, see, like, I wish I could have a setup kind of like Joe's where it's just like all of my games are right there.
You know how my
all
friend...
All you need is three external hard drives.
Yeah.
You know, nothing much.
In all reality, you can
you
get...
You need an external.
Mm-hmm. You can get, I call them a toaster, but there's a little dock that you can get that has a USB plug into it that you can plug into the Xbox, and then it lets you use any laptop hard drive with your Xbox as an external.
Oh.
So you can get like a Western Digital or a Seagate for $50 and plug it in, be just fine. Mm. Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
I'm not going to remember that, but thank you.
You're not. I'll tweet it at you tomorrow.
I don't know, Joe. Do you think Cole's going to remember to tweet it to me tomorrow?
I don't know. I'll let you know if I remember this conversation.
Jacob, I'm writing it down. Tweet Jacob about hard drives. How the fuck do you spell hard drives? Hard drives. Tomorrow.
H-A-R-D.
D-R-I-V-E-S.
How the fuck do you spell hard drive? Wow.
There we go. I'm good. I wrote it down.
Oh, shit.
Thanks, Mika. We're good.
Hey, you know, we do. We end up doing episodes like this, then the SML podcast becomes Someone Might Laugh.
Oh, we all are. Yeah, sure as shit isn't Someone Might Listen anymore. Those people
that went
are
out
long
the window
gone.
When you guys, that went out the window when you guys let me take over the co-host spot.
No, that went out the window earlier tonight when I said, "What's up, everyone? This is the SML podcast." Oh shit.
I tried so hard to duplicate that episode when you weren't there. And I was like, wow, I failed that miserably on the repeat. I was like, oh,
No Time for Games just dropped 200 biddies. Thank you, good sir.
Yay. Write that down.
A wonderful
Thanks,
person.
No time.
Wait, Thanks. What happened?
Oh,
200
shit.
Bits on Twitch.
Oh, that's cool. How much? What is that equal to?
I don't know. I don't know what their bit to cash rate is. It like a, I think it's a penny a bit.
Yeah, just 200 bits is $2.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah,
which is awesome.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, that's like 8 gumballs.
That is much more than we are worth.
So you're all the way up to like 13% on refitting your shitty compitty.
I know, we're gonna get there.
Yeah. I mean, it'll be like 4 years from now, but we're good. Good.
I believe in it. I think the goal is set to end at the end of the year, though, so I'll have to restart it next year.
Now I'm curious at like what you have the goal set at as far as actual value is.
I don't even remember. I want to say it might be like $650 just for a decent computer.
That's not bad. Yeah, that's pretty decent. What you need to do is you need to win the ones that they give away on Power Builds.
I don't even know what Power Builds is.
Did that, like, trick my truck for computers?
Kind of, yeah. They build, like, $3,000 and $4,000 PCs and then give them away on stream, yeah.
Dark Mika saying $750 standard run-of-the-mill desktop.
I've had my eye on a replacement computer because I need one for work that won't explode when I'm trying to render an image. And the
your
one that
book?
I have been
for your coloring book
for my coloring book that I hope to have published next month.
Jacob, you're gonna buy one.
Yeah.
Of what?
The coloring book. We just fucking said that. You and your nachos.
No, actually, I'm eating Turkish paste right now.
Oh my god.
This stuff's amazing.
Turkish paste.
It's like gummies, but a little bit harder, and they're covered in this like powdered sugar. It's almost like a more jelly version of a gummy, but then if you let them sit out, then they solidify more and get harder, and they're just so damn good.
He's definitely going to puke in about an hour.
Well, fuck you too, Cole.
Damn it. I think I've managed to hide that specific word.
What, hour?
Yeah, for most of this show. Arr. I think that might be the first time I've let that one slip.
Yeah, I don't remember that one either.
That's one of my worst ones, and I usually try really hard to not let that one go through. But it's a power hour.
Oh, God.
And it's the same for flower and shower and basically anything else with an O-W-E-R. you're welcome.
Flower power.
I think my wife's watching Over the Garden Wall.
I don't know what that is.
It's a really good Cartoon Network series. Kind of trippy. Very surreal.
Hmm.
Elijah Wood's one of the brothers. You know, the guy who played Frodo?
Yes.
I don't know, Joe. Okay.
I didn't know what kind of response you were expecting.
I expected at least like an him.
Oh, that's
cool.
Okay.
I am at a loss when it comes to like Cartoon Network shows because I don't watch anything like that. Talk to me about Supernatural. Don't talk to me about like the last two seasons though, because I'm behind.
Can we not talk about Supernatural?
Well, Supernatural's fantastic. You ever put two and two together why my goat was named Winchester?
No.
Yeah.
I think Winchester. I think of MASH. Is it Winchester?
I don't know. I haven't seen MASH in so long. I used to watch that every now and then with my dad, but it was a rare thing.
I don't remember.
I'm not sure.
It might be something similar. I don't know. We've already established that I am not of proper mind tonight. So.
I don't think any of us are.
Speaking of dicks.
Cole, what'd you think of Forza 4?
I love Forza. I haven't got to play enough of it. I need to play more. Unfortunately, I had reviews to do, so I said unfortunately, like I was disappointed with the review games, and I was not. It's just that right now everything needs to be Forza.
Yeah. I absolutely agree.
It looks pretty neat over at your house, you know.
It's just so fucking pretty. It really is. And I'm not even playing it like I'm on a 1S. So I've got wannabe 4K over here, but I don't have actual 4K. And I'm still just sitting here like, I want to touch it.
It is absolutely beautiful on the X.
Mika's is blood to race. But what was Jacob saying?
He said that's what she said.
Oh. Mika's is blood to racing game. And funny enough, I like racing games, but I like arcade racers. But one of the things that I like best about Forza is that you don't have to race if you don't want to. Just go drive around. Like, I turn off the radio. I know I get blasted when I say this, but I turn off the radio and I, like, load up Spotify and listen to whatever the fuck I want. And I just go exploring looking for collectibles and shit.
I already got all the fast travel boards.
Yeah, I'm not there yet. But I haven't played, like I said, And I was actively trying to, like, not play it too much because Studa and I played Forza Horizon 3 entirely in co-op. So once it gets to the point where it allows us to play online, we're going to play 4 in co-op as well.
All you got to do is get through the 4 seasons and then it opens up.
And I think I'm on winter, but Studa hasn't started at all yet. So I was trying to like let him get caught up to me so that we can play together as opposed to me just like he joins and I'm already level 200 like in everything else we play.
Yeah. So
it's just a thing. Forza is for co-op.
I got most of my influence in the game just through bounty boards. I would just track them down. I bought the treasure map and I just go hunting for the bounty boards and get influence that way and pretty much skip the seasons.
They had it set up on Mixer where if you watched people stream, you could get influence. And I had a lot of influence. I didn't go to any influence farms, which some people just like set that shit up on the title screen and let it roll 24/7 to get as much as they possibly can. I didn't do that. I did just watch when normal streams that I would already be watching were playing.
Yeah.
I don't have the patience to just sit and farm something like that, but I was watching normal people play, and I still ended up with, like, I want to say, like, 200,000 experience or something. It was just obscene.
Good Lord.
Because they gave it, it was like 500 experience for every 5 minutes.
Wow.
So you raked in a lot of experience very quickly. And if you were streaming as opposed to just playing it, you got 1250 every 5 minutes. And then there were certain events, which this, the ones for just watching and just for streaming, they cut out after the second. But they still have like certain events and stuff where you get a bonus and experience or influence for it based on how many concurrent viewers you have on Mixer when you start the race and when you finish it. So
I would get 3 extra experience.
Yeah. I actually have a few followers on Mixer, and the terrible part is I've never streamed on there. I have more followers on Mixer than I do on Twitch, and I have streamed on Twitch.
How the hell does that work? Oh, maybe it's because they know you're a girl.
Maybe.
And they hope that one day they'll be like, oh, she's so pretty.
Yeah. I have been on stream with a couple other people before, and one of them was doing like giveaways. And he said, oh, you have to follow everybody in the stream. And so people were following me, even though I wasn't streaming because I was part of the group. So I ended up with a couple of follows out of that. And I was like, sorry, you guys wasted your button click.
Wasted time.
Yep. Meanwhile, over on Twitch, I need 50 followers just so I can get affiliate while I stream art. Can't get it. It's cool. Whatever.
We have an extremely high number, like 747. I think that's mostly because of people entering contests.
Yeah.
One of the things is to follow us on Twitch.
If you follow me on Twitch, I'll give away a copy of one of my coloring books. And if you know what my coloring book is, you probably don't want to follow me for that.
Speaking of dicks.
I don't think Jacob even knows about what's in the coloring book, and that was still a perfect segue.
Isn't it just full of veiny dicks?
It is. It's a coloring book full of dicks and costumes. Yeah.
Yeah, there we go. See, October. I knew what it was about.
Yep. That is, I've been doing the Inktober challenges and then doing Cocktober as well.
I didn't get one today.
So bad. I know. Well, if I got at least some surprises for the coloring book. And I realized today that I'm running low on black ink.
Uh-oh.
I'm like, shit, I need to do like a GoFundMe or some shit for a $7 bottle of ink. Terrible. Oh,
Jesus.
Why do you need this ink? So that I can finish Cocktober, guys.
Dark Mika, oh my, her hands hurt after dealing with Cocktober.
Look, you get so many weenies, though. It's 31 weenies. 31
weenies. That's what Joe calls a slow Thursday.
Well, this is certainly not a slow Thursday. Oh, my God.
So many weenies, guys.
Oh, my God. So, yeah, Forza. Got off course there just a little bit.
Forza has no weenies.
But you can hit the cows.
Can you hit the goat, cows?
Or the sheep. Yeah, I hit one.
Can you?
I uploaded video to the Twitters.
I've had deer run across me a couple times, and I'm like, too realistic, please stop. I live in redneck land. I know what that shit does to a car.
I've had a couple of good Forza clips happen to me lately. I had the hitting the goat or the sheep. Oh. Sorry, the sheep. It just bounces off.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, it just bounces off to the one side. Like, there's no violence or gore or anything. It just the model bounces off and does nothing. But I had getting hit by a train.
I've seen other people do that.
It was a pretty solid hit too, out of nowhere. Jacob, were you here for that one?
Did you go flying?
It just knocked me off to the side and spun me around.
Oh.
It was really funny though.
Do you have it set to where damage is cosmetic only?
Yeah.
I wonder what happens if you have it set to one of the higher difficulties where there's actual effects from the damage.
Wasted from Grand Theft Auto appears on the screen.
That'd be amazing. I'm not going to lie. I don't even like Grand Theft Auto, and I would still get a giggle out of that.
No Time for Games saying Forza Horizon 4 is so amazing. It really is. I'm absolutely loving it. I do have a gripe. I think it shoves too much at you. It's like you do a danger sign. It's like, oh, man, you did a danger sign. Here's three more. You do another one. It's like, oh, man, here's six more.
It's just, yeah.
You do a race. It throws four more at you. It's just constantly giving you more and more shit to do, which is a weird gripe, but it seems too much too quick.
It feels like it's hard to actually progress because you're knocking out one, you get seven more back. And so you never feel like you're clearing anything off the map because everything's just, it's like plucking a gray hair. You pull one, three pop up.
Yeah.
And that's how the whole game is. You're just like, oh God, slow down. It was one race.
No Calm time down. Put it well. It's overwhelming. It is.
It is.
It gives you a lot.
And again, where I was like, I was playing to try to get to the point where I could unlock co-op. And just like all this shit's popping up. I'm like, no, I don't want to do this yet. I want to wait till I have a friend. Calm down. Just let me have a friend.
Well, that stuff you have to do.
Yeah, but it's still just, stressful. No, because it's popping up to like the danger signs and stuff. And I'm like, no, I will get to you.
Well, you just got to keep doing stuff till you get the influence to open the next season. And when it tells you to get your Horizon Pass or your Horizon band wristband.
Get on the roster, yeah.
Yeah, that's when you open up the rest of the game.
Yeah. It takes a long-ass time just to get to that point.
It's a meaty intro. There's a lot of game there. And there is so much more, too.
Assassin's Creed Odyssey is like that, too. It's like a six-hour prologue before you even get to the fucking title screen.
Yeah, I've put like an hour and a half into it so far, and I've just been doing side quests. I didn't even go to that dude's vineyard yet.
Oh, my God.
I've just been running around doing side missions.
There's an achievement, though. There's one scene with a goat and a glass eyeball, and without trying to give away any kind of spoiler, the achievement is named Stinka.
So you got to get the goat to eat the eyeball?
You got to get it back out of it.
Oh, Lord.
So,
is this a missable achievement then?
It is, yeah, because if you don't just go on a goat killing spree, because you don't know which goat it's in either.
Oh, man.
So you have to just like murder a fuck ton of goats in a certain area until you find it.
That is
good awful. Luck. Have fun with that.
Oh,
and I believe
God.
That is also before the actual title screen. So
that's hilarious. No, I didn't do that one yet. No, I don't think I got the title.
Yeah, because if you haven't been to the vineyard, you haven't got this in. So.
I was thinking the title screen was after the 300 section, but...
You got time.
Oh, I know. I still have plenty of game to do.
No, don't fuck the goats. Goats are fantastic.
Fuck the goats. Is that a saying that you want to be associated with? Fuck the goats?
Choose wisely your hashtags.
Yeah. Oh, God. Goat Slayer Odyssey. Now I'm looking forward to getting this mission.
Yeah. You'll have to let me know when you get to it, because I'm pretty sure you won't even need to be fucked up to get a giggle out of it.
I really don't game high that often. I think the only time I really do is I'll play Rock Band.
I have one friend who gets fucked up. Literally, like, he joins the party and you hear his bong every time. Oh, God. And I don't know how he functions. He won't even say hello. At that point, we hear the bong, we just go hi, because we know he's there. But I don't know how he does it, because he plays PUBG and Rocket League, and he used to play Division with us, and he doesn't struggle. He does just as well as the rest of us, but it might actually help him because he gets a little paranoid.
Yeah.
So he's a little more alert and doesn't run out, whereas I'm just like, whatever, let's move to the circle. And then I get shot in the ass.
Nice.
That's what frying pans are for. Check your butt.
Oh, Jacob, what do you play high?
A lot of Super Mega Baseball 2.
That's a good one.
I used to play Rez quite a bit.
Nice.
Sometimes Just Cause 3, although I know my accuracy isn't as good. Streets of Rage 2.
Good one. Good classic.
And Crud. I'm trying to remember what the heck the name of the game is. It's like almost like a spiritual successor to Rez.
Child of Eden?
No. Hold on. Like gameplay wise, and what you have to do is you have to keep this like ball of energy or like a ship or something like that. You have to keep it on like this rail that goes through a level and stuff like that.
Bumper?
No.
Arrow?
Yeah.
Arrow.
Yeah. I downloaded that and that was pretty cool.
Arrow is great. It's not my skill set, but it is a great game.
Yeah, it was good enough. I think I have all the DLC for it.
That's just overachieving.
You're going to say that like with me and my Rock Band collection.
That is also overachieving.
Have you played every single song in that collection?
Not in Rock Band 4, no, because just so many songs carried over that I didn't get a chance to replay everything. I'm still chipping away at them.
Oh, no.
That's insane.
Yeah, it is.
Do you have the completion in that game? Can you do the completion?
Achievement-wise?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
I got it.
So that's your version of me and the Division, then.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm proud of that achievement, that completion. That was a tough one. There were some tough achievements in there.
That reminds me, the Division has new shields, and I need to go get them. New I gotta get
shields.
Ready. Yeah, there's a new kind of like a just a little challenge that comes up, a shield challenge, and basically, if you complete the tasks, then you'll get better gear when you start the Division 2. So they've been releasing them like once a month, and I'll wait and let 2 or 3 months worth stack up and then play for 2 or 3 days to knock them all out. So I've got that way I have like an excuse to play longer than just like, oh, this will take me an hour and I'm done again for a month. So then we just wait and let a few months worth stack up and then we just tear into them. But they were going to do 12 shields. So one a month until Division 2 releases.
That's cool. I don't know where else to go with that.
It's okay. You didn't have to go anywhere else. I was just waiting for you to go somewhere else. Truncate silence.
So believe it or not, we do have reviews we got to do.
Oh, no.
Son of a bitch. It's been 2 hours.
Have we been doing reviews?
Well, there's only a handful.
Oh, God.
Or would you rather do these tomorrow?
Oh, fuck me.
Well, Jacob, you don't have any to do.
Well, I already reviewed Just Cause 3, didn't I?
Yeah, pretty much.
Cool. All right. I'm going to go watch TV then.
All right. You have yourself a good night, Jacob.
All right. You guys too.
Jacob, install the Overcooked DLC.
All right. I will.
Okay.
Bye.
Throw rice at each other.
Throw all the fucking rice. Now we get water pistols and we'll be able to shoot each other with water pistols.
Nice.
Yeah.
So what do you think? Are you up for doing some reviews?
Might as well. Let's roll. I've sat here and like doodle. I'm going to send you pictures of this after the show. And nice. You're just going to laugh at me because there's literally fucking doodles everywhere.
Are they all dicks?
No, there aren't any dicks. Usually what I doodle when I'm
If there's no dicks, here, maybe I could use it as the art for the show this week.
Then everybody will know how spastic I am.
And?
Like, usually it's just like boxy lines and boxes. Rabbits. There's a rabbit in there somewhere out of circles. And I think that might be a Yoshi or some kind of dinosaur with a collar. I don't know.
Oh, jeez.
You know how, like, I think I've mentioned this before. Like, when you're watching those psychics and they're doing the cold readings and they just kind of randomly draw shapes and stuff or make circles mm-hmm. so they look like they're doing something of value. Yeah. That's me. You never know what's going to be in the sidelines, the margins or whatever. There's a kitty cat. I don't know what these circles are. They might not be safe for work.
Oh, God.
Oh, there's my note to tweet Jake. I had already forgot about that. I'm glad I wrote that down.
He's going to be good. All right. You ready for these?
Let's go.
All right.
What are we starting with?
First game to talk about tonight is called Amnesia Collection, developed and published by Frictional Games. It released September 28th on Xbox One for $29.99. From the creators of Soma, Amnesia Collection brings together all three titles from the Frictional Games in the Chinese Room, including Amnesia The Dark Descent, the expansion Amnesia Justine, and the sequel Amnesia A Machine for Pigs. Cole, what is Amnesia Collection?
So first off, this is a horror game, and this is widely regarded as one of the best horror games ever. I don't want to say anything bad. I don't know if I would necessarily classify it as one of the best, but it was definitely very good, and I'll tell you why. It doesn't rely on jump scares or gore in any way. So this is one of those games where the horror aspect comes from basically your own fuckery in your head.
Nice.
There's incredible atmosphere, incredible tension from the audio cues that will just have you, you know, it sounds bad to put it this way, but you kind of regret you're playing it because you're just that uncomfortable because you don't know what's going to fucking happen. So it's a very psychological experience.
That's the kind of horror I like. I'm not a fan of jump scares.
I don't mind jump scares, but when it boils down to it, the psychological horror is absolutely my favorite. I like the stuff that's gonna like make you freak your own self out. And this does an exceptional job. In all honesty, and we'll go ahead and like get the elephant out of the room. This game was from 2010. This is not a remaster. And it definitely has that dated look going for it. Mm. It's not the most visually striking, but you spend so much game in low light scenarios or just flat out actual darkness that it kind of just doesn't bother you. I would have liked to have seen some more updated textures. I would have liked to have seen the physics been smoothed out a little bit because again, they are noticeably dated. The Dark Descent, which was the original games from 2010, and Machine for Pigs, which is the sequel, was from 2013. So, I mean, there is an obvious
jump in quality.
Yeah, you know, and just dated aesthetic to it. But again, like I said, you spend most of the game in darkness, and this is where the psychological aspect of it comes into play as well. Because a lot of games will say, oh, you know, stay in the light and you're safe, or stay in the dark and you're safe, or you're in danger, or stay in the light, you're in danger, you know, stay in the dark, you're safe. This game, it doesn't matter. You have risk in the light and you have risk in the dark. You have to decide how you're going to progress through the game and what you're willing to risk. Because if you're in the dark, you're losing your sanity. And if you stay in it too long, you'll actually get distorted vision. The paintings on the walls will become more tormented and not look just like normal, you know, happy-go-lucky Victorian era paintings. They will be some traumatizing shit.
Oh, that's cool as hell.
Yeah, and then, you know, and the only way to regain your sanity is to either bring up your lantern, turn your lantern on, or find light. But if you're in the light, you're at danger, you're at risk of being spotted by the enemies. So there are, you know, baddies and beasts lurking in the shadows. And ideally, you need to hide in the dark to stay away from them. You have to have that stealth aspect because you can't kill them. There is no combat from your side. The most that you can do is, like, you might be able to pick up a book or something or a chair and throw that at them. And it will stun them for a second so that you can go hide. But you can't, there's only one that can be killed. One enemy type that can be killed. And, oh, wow. And you can't see it. It's in the water. So you basically, like, you have to stand on boxes in the water. And if you see ripples, which is hard as fuck to do in the dark. But if you see the ripples, then you can throw something at it and you'll see like a little splash of yellow blood and you'll be like, oh, I killed it. But don't stay in the water too long because there will be another one.
Oh, God.
You will get fucked up fast no matter what you do. But the mechanic of you're not safe anywhere was just incredibly creative. And I absolutely loved it because you had to sit and go, am I safe enough from the beasts to complete this puzzle? Am I going to have to do it in the dark and risk my own sanity? Which makes things harder because your vision becomes distorted. Or I did figure out that you can use objects to distract. I got distracted by chat because Ian said something she didn't figure out. You can throw objects to distract it. But I did say that. You could throw chairs or whatever and stun them or distract them. Yeah. I don't think there were shoes. Aww. I didn't see any shoes. But it's so fucking dark. Maybe it was a shoe. I don't know. I picked up whatever the little hand would come over and like let me throw. I'd be like, I am throwing this at something today. There are light sources. You have to be careful. You do have the lantern, like I mentioned, and you can turn it on. You risk being seen, but you also have to worry about running out of oil. Look there. I managed to not say that funky.
I wasn't even going to call attention to it.
I'm so proud of me. Look.
I was just going to ignore it and go on.
You risk running out and then you could be stuck in the dark and you could have a puzzle and have to do the entire thing without a light source. Although there are matches. I forget what word it used for matches. It's a very old-fashioned word. I was like, what? But there's matches that you can find to light candles and stuff around for you. Again, though, you have to be careful with where you put light because you could eliminate one of your hiding spots.
Overall, it sounds scary as hell.
Yes. The Machine for Pigs, which was the sequel, it was created by the Chinese Room and who also did Everybody's not Everybody's Gone to the Rapture. Yeah, Everybody's Gone to the Rapture. It is a little different than the actual first game in that it's more narrative based and there's not so much of a
So it's more of like a walking sim.
Yes, I was trying not to say walking sim, but it doesn't put as much.
It's more narrative driven.
Yes, whereas the first chapter or the first game and the DLC are very puzzle heavy. So,
gotcha.
Yep.
Well, overall, $30 on it. What do you think?
I do give it a definite try. It is a psychological horror, and that's kind of a niche that not a lot of people really get down with. And so you kind of got to keep that in perspective, especially given the price and given that it's not remastered, then yeah, it's a little hard to just be like flat out buy it. I did enjoy my time with it. I had a lot of fun. I was more uncomfortable than flat out scared. I didn't even fear pee.
Nothing.
But yeah, but it was, if you're the kind of person who's already gonna be like, I like psychological horrors, I want to mind fuck myself, this is a mind fuck, and you will enjoy it.
Awesome. Sounds good.
Yay. Next.
Next game to talk about is called Pizza Titan Ultra, developed and published by Breakfall, released September 26th on Xbox One for $11.99. Pizza Titan Ultra is a fast-paced third-person action platformer focused on fighting and smashing through a futuristic city in a giant mech to deliver pizza. Experience arcadey action with speedy attacking and dodging while attempting to control the massive weight of a 10-story mobile pizzeria. Just try not to make too much of a mess. Cole, what the hell is this game?
This game is crazy.
Yes, it is. If the description didn't give it away.
Yeah. You basically play as a 10-story tall pizzeria that walks around the city delivering pizzas by literally just thrusting its fist through the wall of apartment buildings. That's the long and short of what you're going to be doing. But there's a little more involved. Each level has a goal for you to try to get a certain amount of money. And you are limited to how much time you start off with in each level. But you can pick up extra money and extra time, and then just like go around and deliver shit for longer than what you start off with.
Yeah.
So it's possible to bank that time so that you can go for it. But it really is just you're set in a city and you've got to move your mech from side to side in the city, jumping over buildings, sometimes destroying buildings. There are enemies that will pop up from Cheeseborg.
Cheeseborg.
Which is fast food. And they're trying to get rid of y'all. And so that they can be the ultimate food service again.
So it's a bit on the crazy side.
It's so hard to explain it because it's just so absurd. And I love that about it. Even though it's fairly simple in gameplay, it's really just deliver the pizzas, smash whatever enemies. Sometimes you will get side objectives for different levels where it'll be like, you know, we'll give you some extra money if you bulldoze down some houses. So you go do strategic roles to take out a couple rows of neighborhood. Or it'll be like, oh, this one of the team members is you know, on vacation, but he lost his wallet and it's okay. We'll go grab you some extra coins. So you have to get a certain amount of bonus money or deliver bonus pizzas. One of my favorite things that pops up is that you can take walk-in orders.
And which so while I love those.
I love this mini game for these. Like the whole game could be this mini game and I would have been like, this is fucking awesome. When you get a walk-in order, it'll basically just be like a little person standing on the ground somewhere and you walk up to them and it will split the screen down, not quite a half, more like a third, and you'll have a pizza with little circular areas and you've got to hit A to put the ingredients down in the certain spaces, and then you'll have to press A to build up a thermometer meter so that you bake it to the right temperature, and then you gotta press A when the lines are in the right spot to cut it so that it's cut on the diagonal to cut the pizza slices. It's so much fun, and the better you do, the more bonus you get, a bigger tip. I could have just like spent my whole time with the game walking around looking for walk-ins.
Yeah, those were fun to do. I really enjoyed just changing up the action in the game.
It does. It's just, and it's because it's not scripted to the chapters. They could just literally be anywhere. It's a break when you didn't know you needed one.
Yeah.
And it breaks down the monotony of going from A to B, occasionally punching a helicopter out of the sky and going to C. There's a lot of 90s era inspiration going on here. You have some really close to being copyright infringement characters. There's definitely a Captain Planet looking dude. There's definitely a Bob Ross looking dude. There's definitely a Parappa the Rapper dude named Hip Hop Hound.
I love the music from that as well.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun just to see what character is going to pop up next for the next mission. There are different islands and areas that you can expand to once you've got enough money to unlock the different areas so that you're not just sitting and replaying the same location over and over. You can get a little variety in there. You can also customize your mech. You can choose a paint scheme, paint it whatever colors that, you know, you want from what are available. You can buy additional cosmetics, although some of them I think they said had like different abilities.
No, they didn't.
There's something that you buy that had an ability. I played this last week, and so my notes are scattered. I don't remember what I was writing.
As you unlock more body parts, it unlocks different special abilities.
Abilities, and you can choose through them. But you have to buy the body parts to gradually unlock. So I should have made that clear in my notes. I wrote, buy cosmetics, get boosts. So, like, you can tell sometimes I do this shit really fast.
Proud of you.
Yay. And then I get to the show and I'm like, what the fuck was I talking about there? You'll see when I take a picture later of my horrible mess. I should just, like, go over it and put a whole bunch of question marks and be like, this is what it was.
Oh, God. Anyway.
But yeah, you basically just deliver pizzas and save the world from Cheeseborg and have fun doing it.
Well, then $12 on it. What is your verdict?
Is it really only $12?
Yep.
Buy it. Absolutely buy it because it's fun. And it's one of those, like, it's not a difficult to play game. You can kind of just chill out and deliver pizzas and have fun with it. So yeah.
I agree. It is absolutely insane. It's a lot of fun. Fans of Crazy Taxi will find a lot to love in this.
I've seen other people make that comparison, but I've never played Crazy Taxi, so I don't know.
You should play Crazy Taxi sometime.
I should play a lot of shit sometime.
Yeah, true. Very true. Anyway, next game to talk about is called The Council Episode 4 Burning Bridges, developed by Big Bad Wolf, published by Focus Home Interactive. It released September 25th on Xbox, PS4, and Steam for $6.99. The complete season of the game, all 5 episodes, is available for $29.99. Louis de Richer enters the depths of Lord Mortimer's island hunting truce about his mother and the other guests. The mausoleum he finds there contains more secrets than he could possibly have predicted. Dark Mika wrote in a review for this one, and I'm going to have fun trying to read it.
Ooh, yeah, I'm going to close my book and sit back.
Anyway, she says, The Council Episode 4 is, and this may shock you all, but it's still a third-person choose-your-own-adventure game. I know, crazy, right? Sticking in the same genre for an episodic game, I've never heard of such a thing. They are crazy. A little bit of sarcasm there, huh?
Little bit.
Just a smidge.
Not noticeable at all, though. It's okay.
Anyway, you play as Louis de Richer, and well, if you've caught up to, you know, episode 3 ended on some serious what the fuck moments. This starts continuing from that total what the fuck moment. I'd like to act like your mom is completely delusional, but the more I play, the less delusional she seemed in her psychotic ramblings. Now you're off to find a holy relic, one of the most holy of relics, the Spear of Longiness.
What?
Interesting. Longinus. Longinus.
Hmm.
For everyone who isn't a fan of the anime Neon, isn't religious or a fan of the anime Neon Genesis Evangelion, which I understand the anime kind of sucked, the spear was supposedly used to stab Jesus Christ in the side while he was hanging on the cross. Ah, okay. See, I'm not religious, so I didn't know that.
That escalated quickly.
It's what killed him. His blood on the spear makes it a holy relic. Now the plan is after you find it, you hide it under your shirt. Yeah, they're just the best of master spies. Fucking disgraces the both of them. Anyways, after that, you run away and get off the island. This is all planned so you can kill two people that are evil and are controlling the world by using its leaders as puppets. You kill them by not killing them and instead running away from the island where they both kind of sort of currently are on, and you and this spear that can kill them at the same time. Fucking geniuses, aren't they?
Wow.
Oh, Lord. Story is, well, it's very Sherlocky with heavy Christian overtones because, well, back then people were more Christian in these countries. Now it's going full on angels and demons and a bit of the Da Vinci Code all mixed in one. I was expecting it to stay with the Sherlock, like, grounded in reality bit, so the ending of 3, I was like, yeah, she must be delusional as fuck. After all, she had a lack of food, a lot of blood loss from losing her hand, and God only knows how much morphine she's hitting on a regular basis to deal with that pain. But now it's going into some serious, like, biblical stuff, and that feels like a major sudden shift. I personally don't like the thematic shift. I'm not a fan, or I'm not a follower of any of the Abrahamic religions, so my knowledge base on that is stuff is in between basic general knowledge and just barely more than that. To solve many of the puzzles in this game, you need more in-depth knowledge than I have. You get enough information in the game to solve them, but without already having that knowledge base, it's really hard to connect the dots to understand what information is actually important, because you get a lot of it. Now, moving from just using theology as a mechanic to pass notes and use as puzzles, we're using it as part of the in-game reality. Mentally, I've kind of grinded to a halt in this game because it doesn't make sense anymore. We've gone from logic and reasoning, very Sherlock-like demons are real and we need to fight them. It's like Sherlock being himself and then suddenly he's a Jedi or something. It doesn't make sense thematically. The sudden shift was jarring and I didn't like that one bit. Others won't care or will enjoy it, but I like my themes to run the full course. If the game started off with, yes, demons are real, we need to fight them, let's kick ass. Okay, fine, fuck yeah, but it didn't. It started, hey, I'm Sherlock, let's solve some issues with logic and reasoning. I expected that to continue. It's on the Xbox One, PS4, and Steam for $7. I think it's still worth it if you've gone this far. I mean, you still want to see this story to an end. I found an issue after the updates were put in right around this episode coming out. Lip syncing has gone to hell again. It's even worse now than it was in the first episode, which shocks me. Each update made that less of an issue. Now it's glaring. Voice actors also say some things incorrectly. For instance, a numerical code is told to you. The voice actor says the combination one order, but the subtitles say it's a different one. The subtitles are correct, by the way, not the voice acting. There's a big fucking issue. Or that's a big fucking issue, sorry. Yeah, that is kind of an issue if the voice is telling you one thing and the subtitles are different.
Yeah, that's actually one of my pet peeves.
Yeah. Anyway, there's also a lot of lag now. You might hang there for 1 to 2 minutes, unable to do anything, but move the camera, just waiting for the game to let you move again. It usually happens after talking to someone or interacting with stuff. As such, yes, I'd buy the episode, but I'd hold off on it till they patch the issues, because they can make the game an absolute chore. Sounds like it's a weird shift in game now.
Yeah, that is definitely different.
It's weird when games just shift so drastically in the middle of a story. I don't know. Anyway, one final game to talk about for this section of the show is called Jack and Jill DX, developed by Rohan Narang, published by Rattleika Games. It released September 26th on Xbox One, PS4, and Vita, 28th on the Switch and Steam for $4.99. Once upon a time, Jack and Jill went up the hill to fetch a pail of water. It didn't particularly end well for them, and to be honest, things aren't exactly great for another Jack and Jill either. Cole, what is Jack and Jill DX?
So this is, I guess you would technically consider it a platformer. It is kind of a side-scroller as well. You start off the game, you can choose whether you're going to be Jack or Jill. And it's one of those, just get to the other side and get to, if you're Jack, you're trying to get to Jill. If you're Jill, you're trying to get to Jack. You start
shocking
the game.
Shocking turn of events there.
Yeah, right? You don't, the most interesting thing is that you don't use your analog sticks or your D-pad at all. So,
it's like an auto runner on rails.
You press A and then it goes. So you don't start until you're ready. But then after that, you just keep pressing A and you press A to jump. And then you just hope that you run into a wall so that you get turned around and go the other way when you need to. And then you press A to jump some more. As simple as that sounds, though, some of the later levels in this game are really creative and put using the environment and your ability to time the jumps to the test. And I actually had quite a few where I just died at random. And I was like, oh, I really fucked up. Or I would have to replay it a couple of times to catch that, oh, I'm not jumping at this part. I should be falling, or I'm falling down when I need to jump and get turned around instead. So you really, some of the later levels really push you to think outside of the box and how you're going to get to the actual end of it. We might as well address the elephant in the room with this game. You can easy complete
achievements.
It in about 15 minutes. I'm not, like, people keep saying 15 minutes, and I will lay this out for shit. You gave me the code at 12:30. I installed it at 12:54. I got interrupted by the dogs, and my 5-year-old was like telling me all kinds of random shit about school, and I still completed the game at 1:04. And I was like, oh, okay. That's a thing that happened. That included install time and learning to play the game and getting to the completion.
Good Lord.
So for the completion, you don't actually have to play all of the levels, but I do recommend it because, like I said, they get really creative and they're a lot of fun to kind of figure out. In addition to the actual chapters and playing through the regular levels, there's a mini games that you can play as well. Like the first one you unlock has you playing as the baddies instead of Jack and Jill, and you have to get them across this pit, but the blocks change. Every time you get one through, the blocks change for the next one, so you can't just like rely on muscle memory and timing it when to jump, because you've got to pay attention to how the blocks have shifted. As you play the mini games, you unlock tickets, which you can use to take to the store to buy little costumes for the game. It's kind of funny that the entire game is on a grayscale. It's, you know, blacks, whites, and grays. But it's really pretty, and I love this art style for its simplicity. And it's just cute. And I'm like, yeah, I just, this looks like something I would have doodled in my sketchbook myself. It's adorable. Yeah, it's adorable. And I really, really was drawn to it just for the fact that it was simple. Sometimes you can get lost in games just because they're all, oh, here's so much color and look how many, you know, look how bright our pixelated world is. And you're like, sometimes you just want monochrome. So, but like I said, this is one of those games. Radaleika have been on a roll lately with these kind of games where they're simple, but they're fun to play.
And they're cheap.
They look good. They're easy achievements, and it's really hard to be mad at that kind of lineup.
Yeah.
I think though, like the greatest shock though is that it's cheap and it's an easy 1K. It's actually good.
It's fun. It's good.
It's good. And I thought it was a creative take on the platforming. It's just, it felt different.
Cool. So officially $5. What do you think?
Buy it. Why not? You know, it's not even a fuck it. Why not? It's just, why not? It's $5 and it's fun.
Just buy it.
Yeah. It was responsive and well done. And you can't be mad at it. I had a lot of fun with it.
Agreed. It is a solid game and a lot of fun, and achievement whores will love it.
Yay.
So, keep kicking ass, Radaleika Games.
I don't know who gave Radaleika Games the memo to make their games achievement whore friendly, but good on them. Thank you.
It helps with sales. I know that there's people out there who buy them specifically just to get the cheap achievements.
I understand why games sometimes want to have the harder achievement. It's called an achievement. It should be something that you're proud to get. But at this point, like, most achievement hunters are just there for the number. Yeah. And sometimes it's just a good idea just to pander to that crowd, you know?
Pandering is always good.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Good stuff. But that is it for us tonight. There is going to be more show after this. A couple of guest reviews. Yeah, we're not even going to end it. Tim Ekibus is going to end it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I got a couple of guest reviews to take care of before the end of the show, and then music of whatever the hell I pick. I don't know.
You kind of slurred there a little. Are you okay?
I half burped while talking. It's the Crystal Pepsi coming back up.
It caught a little sideways on you.
I don't know. This has been fun. This has been ridiculous. This has been goofy as hell. I probably won't remember much of it at all. This was definitely a fun experiment.
Everything. Except to message Jacob. I'll forget that.
This was definitely a fun experiment, though. I had fun.
Are you sad it took 420 episodes for you to try this?
I think it's more depressing that I did do this.
Well, we're going to do it again next week.
Oh, my God, no. I can't do this shit again. This is, oh, my God. It was like nerve-wracking halfway through the show, and I'm just sitting there wondering, like, oh, God, she's talking. I have to pay attention to this, but I'm thinking about what I'm going to say to Jacob when he comes back. Why am I thinking about Jacob right now? I should be paying attention to what she's saying. She's still talking. I could still catch up here.
There was no catching up because I have steroid mouth right now, and it's just going 90 miles a minute. And I'm aware of it too, and I still can't stop it.
I love it. Yeah, this is definitely a fun one. So maybe we'll try this experiment again sometime. Who knows?
Nice.
In April for actual 420.
Oh my gosh.
All right. Well, again, that is it for us. Cole, any final words before we go to the other reviews?
Don't smoke and podcast, kids.
All right. Next game to talk about is called 8-Bit Armies, developed by Petroglyph, published by Sedesco, released September 21st on Xbox One and PS4 for $29.99. Welcome back, Commander. Strap on your army boots and get ready for an epic battle. Gather resources, build up your army base and military units, then lay siege with an array of devastating aircraft, vehicles, infantry, and super weapons. Also being welcome back, CJ Greenwood. How's it going?
Deja vu.
You're the one calling attention to this. Like, we didn't just go over that.
To be fair, my intro was perfectly fine, and I thought it was funny.
Well,
up until the point you paused it.
Should I just use all of this then? No, I'm not going to use all this.
No, nobody wants to hear the fucking description twice.
So how's 8-Bit Armies?
It's pretty fantastic. It's actually pretty good. So I played it a long time ago on PC for a review, but I think it was 8-Bit Invaders or whatever. It was one of the three that are included in the RTS bundle on Xbox, which is weird because only Armies is out right now, but that wasn't made completely clear in the description. So there's a lot of people that are leaving bad reviews for the game on the Xbox page just because they're upset that it didn't include all three when that's what it looks like it's advertising. So could have did a little bit better with wording that those are coming out later, and I don't even know if those are actually included in that $29.99 entry price. That information is also not very clear, unfortunately. But it'd be nice if they did, considering that the $29.99 is double the price that the game is on Steam alone.
Ouch.
So hopefully it includes everything. But either way, as for the game itself, it's actually a lot of fun. They changed it up a lot from... you know, on PC, things are really easy. You got the mouse and keyboard, so you got a lot more control. And so they don't really have to change things up from the way it plays. Like on PC, it's kind of like Command and Conquer, where you just click and drag, select your units and whatever have you. You know, a typical RTS. On Xbox, the way that this works is that you actually have unit groups, and those are groups are designated by X, Y, and B. And when you press that button on the controller, that's the group it'll select. So when you go to create a soldier, you actually you bring up that menu, and then you hit X to create ones for X group, Y to create ones for the Y group, and B to create ones for the B group.
All right.
Which is it's a unique way to take it, and you can always press A to select a single unit, just to, like, if you want to go grab a hidden supply crate on the map to give yourself a little bit of a bonus. You can do that by selecting just one unit with A, but there's nobody like clicking or drag to just select like a smaller group within the bigger group. So if you got to actually play that smart and use that as a strategy tactic as well, and make sure you're not putting too many into one group if you want to move like a smaller group at a time.
Gotcha.
You actually have to think about where you're putting your people in your groups, because there's no way to change that afterwards. Like, once they've been created for that group, they're in that group.
So there's strategy required.
There is, and it's an extra unique feature that in the PC version isn't really necessary due to the fact that you can just click and drag.
Do you think that makes the game harder?
I say it could very much potentially, just because of the fact that you are a little bit more limited on the angles you can take an enemy base from, because you only have three. Like, you can't surround the enemy base and then just, like, select and have one group here, one group here, one group here. It's like you have three groups, so you can only take it from three different angles. You're not going to be able to just surround and, like, kind of sweep in and destroy everything. But at the same time, there isn't a limit, so it seems, for how many people can be in one group outside of, like, the map limit itself. But you can put, like, 20-some guys in one group, and it's not going to be an issue. The only thing I saw that was an issue with grouping, I'd say, is that supply crates sometimes drop, like, extra units to help you out on the field. But when you collect that supply crate, it always drops them in the X group. So you're always going to get people in the X group if you get it from a supply crate. There's no way to select, like, which group they're going to be in first.
That's weird.
It's really weird, too, because you pick up a small little supply crate, and then you see, like, 10 guys pop out of it. Like, it looks like a clown car.
Hiding in a box.
It's like, interesting tactic. I see you all practice the class of salad snakes. Solid snake.
Salad snake. He's a vegan now.
He is. No, the visuals in the game are great, too. I mean, they're the 8-bit, but just like with Invaders, it still looks very good for being 8-bit, because 8-bit is a bit of a stretch. It's more just like a voxel art style, where it's just blocky, but it doesn't it's not really 8-bit, per se, because it's not pixelated.
Yeah.
But it does look very good, and I like the way it plays. I think that it still has a lot of similarities to Command & Conquer. Like, you're still going to get that feel, but just changing the unit group thing alone kind of makes it its own unique game at this point, because I've never seen another RTS take that on a console before. I think it's a good way to kind of separate itself and make it a even more thorough strategy game that's going to take a lot more to learn. And on top of it, there are a lot of different levels to play. There's, like, I didn't get to count how many because I didn't beat it. It's a pretty long one, though. I think it's, like, over 20-some levels in the game.
How long does a level take?
It could take, depending on how much you got to do and if you're going to go for the 3-star versus just a 1-star. Like, if you're going for just a 1-star, you could probably look at, like, 10 minutes each, maybe a little bit longer. But if you're going for 3 stars, some of those are going to take many tries, and you're looking at, like, 20 minutes per level.
So you're getting a lot of time's worth out of the game.
You are, for that price, especially if that price does include the other three as well. And you do get two different campaigns, the Renegades and the other one. as you can tell, I played the Renegade one, I think. That's the one I remember. But, yeah, there's two different campaigns. One is significantly longer, with 75 total stars being able to be unlocked out of it, which I believe is the 25 different missions. And then the other one is only like 45 different stars, and that might just be co-op. I'm not sure. But I know that there is a co-op campaign missions, and there's a lot of multiplayer focus in the game as well. So if you want to just play it with a friend, you can do that. And that should be a lot of fun. Overall, I think the game is is well suited for console because of the changes they made. Like, this is going to play well on console versus some RTS games that come out, and then it feels like they just need to add the mouse and keyboard support to that, because it just doesn't play. Whereas this, they changed it a lot and made it actually suited for console, like it was made for a console.
Nice. Well, then overall, $30 on it. What do you think?
I'd say try it, just because the price tag is a bit steep and not everything's out. And we don't know all the details yet as to if everything's included in that $29.99, or if that's just the armies and then it's going to be $29.99 for the other two as well. Like, we don't know all that information. So I would say try it for now. See what you think. For some reason, I remember there being maybe a trial. I don't know for sure, though. So don't quote me on that one.
Too late. You're already recorded.
I'd like that struck from the record, please. This is just a man to people, not reviewer to audience.
Makes sense. But as it stands, the package that you get for $30 is still a try it?
Yes, I would say that.
Cool. Sounds good.
Yeah, it's Gucci.
It's Gucci?
That's a thing kids are saying.
Is it?
Yeah, it is.
I need to go back to the earlier half of the episode when I was blazed out of my mind.
I wish we all could, Joe.
Oh, I know. Anyway, CJ, it's always good having you on chatting about this stuff. Do you have any final thoughts to sum it all up?
You know, for as many years as I've been a part of this show, you really think I would be prepared for final thoughts every time.
Yeah, no shit.
But every time you do it, it just surprises me. 420 Blaze It.
All right, and finally tonight, we're bringing in our good friend Tim Ekibis. Tim, how are you doing?
Oh, shit. I shouldn't take a drink of this water. I'm good. Thirsty, but...
I'm just good. Springing it on you, asking how you're doing right off the bat.
Yeah.
Are you excited to be a part of episode 420?
Oh, man. Smoke 'em if you got 'em. Weren't we supposed to get What's-His-Face? The guy who did where the water tastes like wine music. We had lots of talk about that, about 420.
Oh, shit.
We were talking to him. Yeah, we did.
Son of a bitch.
We'll have to get him around at episode 1420.
1420, yeah.
Or 4200 or something. God,
if I make it that far, please put me out of my misery.
Yeah, seriously. Terrifying.
It is terrifying. But you are here to talk about a game to wrap up the night. You're here to talk about Disgaea 1 Complete, developed by Nippon Ichi Software, published by NIS America, released October 9th on the Switch and PS4 for $49.99. To celebrate the 15th anniversary of the Disgaea series, the groundbreaking game that started all returns for modern consoles in beautiful HD. Relive the expanded adventures in Disgaea 1 Complete. Tim, what is Disgaea 1 Complete?
It's an HD re-release of Disgaea. That's what it is, really. I did play Disgaea when it first came out, and it's like one of those things that makes you feel old, I guess, is, yeah, 15 years ago, I played Disgaea. That was the summer that we were filming Nth Mile.
Oh, God.
Or wait, was it the year after? No. Oh, shit.
So is it Disgaea? I always thought it was Disgaea.
It's Disgaea. Yeah. I don't know. I go back and forth. Yeah, it was around... Yeah, that was the summer that I played it, which might have been like a year after it came out. Something like that. Because I heard tell of this game, like this cool kind of under-the-radar tactics game. I very distinctly remember getting in a car with Steve Smith and driving up to Buffalo to pick up a copy of it. Because that was where the nearest copy was. I didn't live in Buffalo at the time, so it was like an hour drive. And Steve bought a copy of Breakthrough for NES, which he beat once and then left in my care. and I might have sold at some point because I had no nostalgia for that game. Poor Steve. This is neither here nor there. Yeah, so I played Disgaea kind of at the time that it came out, and I loved it. And guess what? I still love Disgaea. I found out this game holds up really well. For those that don't know, this is a tactics game, kind of like, you know, your Final Fantasy Tactics, your Tactics Ogre. Tactics takes place on a grid, three quarters view. It's that sort of deal. And there was not, at the time, I guess there really wasn't a ton of good ones. I still don't know if there is a ton of good ones. Like, it feels like there's some that are really top tier, and then there's a bunch of other people trying to capture the magic. I think it's really tough to make a really good, addicting, fun tactics game. Maybe you'll disagree, but I feel like that's the case.
It's tough to capture the magic of the genre.
Yeah, just to have the right number of systems and have the battles feel good and flow well.
Not make it too complex.
Yeah, not too complicated, not too boring, not too grindy. It's tough, I think, to make all of those things come together. And you know, Final Fantasy Tactics is still kind of like the pinnacle of the genre, in my opinion, even though that was practically the first one, which is crazy. That and Tactics Ogre, which is also very good. But, I mean, you also have stuff like the top-down Advance Wars, which is a bit more simplistic and Fire Emblem kind of falls in the same vein. But anyways, Disgaea, here we are 15 years later. Holy shit. In the meantime, with the Disgaea series, I played a bunch of 2, didn't finish it, and didn't play 3, 4, or 5. I like Googled today to double check there was a 4, which probably doesn't make a lot of sense, but I definitely knew there was a 3 and a 5. And I'm like, well, I guess they must have made a 4, right? I don't really remember. I remember 3 coming out on PS3, and 5 came out relatively recently. That's already out on the Switch, I believe, so I have not been playing these games in the intervening 15 years so much. I played some other Nipponichi releases at the time, like Phantom Brave, which I don't like, and Makai Kingdom, which I did like, and then kind of fell off. I don't know. It's almost like kind of anime-esque tactics-y strategy RPGs. They're kind of their own little subgenre, and there just became like a ton of them, and the writing, I don't know, whatever. I kind of burnt out on them a little bit, I guess. Anyways, Disgaea is a great fucking game, man. Even coming back, like, I was, like, wondering, coming back to it, I'm just like, was this, you know, good at the time? Is it still fun now? And I very quickly got into this loop of, like, finishing a mission, then going to, like, buy equipment, recruit new characters, and then wanting to jump back in to, like, start leveling that stuff up. And remembering everything about this game that makes it wonderful. So, yeah. Good news, Disgaea holds up. The big kind of attraction to this game is that it is HD-ified. The sprites look sharp. It seems, from what I could look at, they just kind of borrowed a bunch of sprite work that they did for the more recent Disgaea games and planted them into this game. So your mileage may vary on that. I mean, like, I'm a guy who played every PS2 era Shin Megami Tensei game, which reused the same character models over and over and over and over again. and also same on the, like, DS era Shin Megami Tensei games, which used the same shit over and over again. And then still use the same character design, so whatever. Like, if you're fine with that, whatever, you're fine. But either way, it looks good. It looks sharp. The characters look good. They animate well. They look good on a Switch screen, on a big screen. They look good in the modern era. Like, this game's got no lengthy preamble. You get kind of like the setup of Laharl, your main character, waking up after being asleep for 2 years after his father died, and pretty much getting straight into doing some battles, straight into, well, there's a brief tutorial, but you get straight into the business of, you know, playing the game, really. And what I love about Disgaea is that there is so much, one of the things I love about it is that there is so much creativity in the battle system. It's not just about kind of like positioning your guys and, you know, using your abilities efficiently and playing defensively here or there. There's a lot you can do with your movement, such as cheating, just blatantly fucking cheating. So one of the neat things is you can, when a character is going to attack an enemy, if there are other characters standing on adjacent tile spaces, there is a certain percent chance that those characters will join in on the attack. And the fun cheatery thing you can do is you can move characters next to characters that are about to attack, execute the attack, and then cancel the other character's movement and have them walk somewhere else. Which is something I always love to do. It's not always the most effective thing to do because you get bonus points for like executing a bunch of actions all at once. And if you keep canceling people's movements and whatever, oh God, this, what? This is not good. So I like Googled up Disgaea and oh no.
Did you go to Bing image search?
No. I Googled up Disgaea real quick just to like double check the release date. But like one of the things on the sidebar is an Aetna body pillow. And in one of them, she is not wearing pants, and there's a little stop sign over her business. Oh, God, is that... Oh, I really hope that... Oh, no, that looks like just stuff on her in that area. Oh, no, you could just see it. See, oh, okay, we're closing this window. You can just see the business right there. Okay, wow. It was just, like, there on my screen as I was talking, and I kept, like, the closer I glanced at it while I was talking, like, the worse it got. Anyways, so... Yeah, this game went horrible places on the internet, but that's neither here nor there. So either way, it's really fun to move characters around like that. There is a throwing mechanic, so you can line up characters next to each other and have them pick each other up into these giant stacks to then throw characters around the battlefield to get them very quickly to places you wouldn't otherwise be able to reach, which is important for getting to like high ground. On some maps, there's impassable terrain, so you need to throw characters over it. And rather than just throwing one, you might throw a stack of like three characters over a gap. There comes a point where you're going through these kind of endless randomly generated dungeons, and all you need to do is get to the exit of a level so you can set up these chains. So if you're in a hurry, you can just chuck your ass to the exit and down you go. But it's really fun and adds some more thinking to these levels, whereas in other games, you're just kind of like, okay, I need to move my characters around. They can only move this much, blah, blah, blah. But in this case, it's like, okay, well, I can finish this battle faster if I can just pick up this character, and then make a little chain of throws over closer to where the bad guys are and get this wrapped up on this turn. That would be great. Thank you.
Nice.
Yeah, so the game has, well, let's see, I want to go over like all the mechanic-y shit first. As you beat up enemies, you know, you gain experience and you get points you can use to recruit new characters. When you recruit a new character, you recruit them kind of as an apprentice. So it makes sense to kind of have characters build up little posses to walk around with. So because then they get bonuses to their combo chance, like when they're standing next to each other, you can learn skills off of your apprentices, which is helpful. So, like I have one mage that recruits all of my mages. So that one mage can make sure to learn all the different elemental mage spells, since each particular mage class only learns one elemental type. As you use abilities, your weapon affinity levels up, your magic affinities might level up, let you do different patterns of spell attacks. Once you get characters to a certain level, they can apply to be transmuted into higher levels of their same job. So they start out with better stats, and as they level up, they will be much more powerful than they were before. And that's kind of how the character building goes. One of the ways the character building goes. Another way that you make your characters more powerful is by going into this thing called the item world. So every fucking item in this game, and they're all randomly generated, you can go into the item to level it up. So you go into level, and what this takes the form of is randomly generated dungeons, basically. This is like the best way if like you're looking to grind up new characters. This is the way to do it. It takes you want to have a decent sized posse before you start doing them because they can be a bit lengthy. But it's the, you know, you get a bunch of interesting level layouts. You're leveling up an item at the same time. Inside the item are like there's creatures living inside them, like specific residents to the item. And if you can kill those residents, you can then swap them into other items, and those residents, they give bonuses to things like your strength, your hit points, etc., etc. So there's just so much going on at any given time. Like, okay, I'm gonna go here to grind up some characters, but I'm also leveling up this item, but I'm also capturing these residents, which I can use to then combine and move around into super residents to like really up the strength on particular items. And this is where you start moving like on a certain trajectory towards, I'm just gonna break the fuck out of this game, you know. And it's something you always have control over because there is this kind of third pillar to the game called the Dark Assembly, which is great and hilarious, which is a legislative body that rules over the netherworld, which you can bring legislative items to vote on, which at its base level, it's like, I want better stuff in the shop. And then they'll vote on it and probably pass it and go on. And that's fine. But you can also like change the difficulty of the game by doing that, so you can make, like, if your characters get a little too overpowered and you want the game to be a bit harder, you can have them increase the difficulty. If it's getting a little too hard, you can lower the difficulty. All subject to a vote from the senators, though, and before you go in for a vote, you can see how the senators are leaning on the vote, and if there's too many that are leaning against it, you can start bribing these motherfuckers. And if they still vote your shit down, you can then opt to fight the Senate.
Nice.
You can engage them in combat in order to get your stuff passed, which is also like, it's just so fun. Like all the stuff you can do, it really feels like there's no limit to the dumb crap you can do and like how creative you can get and like the fun you can have and like ways to level up and things to mess around with. Kind of like my really only beef with the game. This is like the game in general is in order to transmute your characters, you have to go through promotion exams, three of them to be exact, which are pretty simple battles, but it's just a tedious thing to do when you need to transmute a bunch of characters, like going through the same little battle, one versus four, like over and over again.
Yeah.
It's annoying. I wish that was better. But, you know, otherwise, this game is just, like, a lot of fun, holds up really well. Like, the story is cheeky and funny and has some really funny moments in it. In about every chapter, there's something memorable and hilarious, which I won't spoil, just like some really good jokes in there. Something about a horse wiener. It's great.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah, there's like this character that builds like a super zombie, and they're like talking about all the parts they put into it, and they're like, and he has a horse wiener. And you're like, what? And sure enough, you look at this fucking zombie, and he's carrying an item called horse wiener. Jesus. Which you can steal off of him and of then course. Equip on your characters
of
and
course.
Power up. I believe Steve Smith had played through the game multiple times because it has New Game Plus, had stolen multiple horse wieners that he had equipped on certain characters. Just characters covered in wieners.
I think he sold me on horse wieners.
It's great. It's a fun game. It is, like, I think one of... To this day, one of my favorite. It's certainly one of my favorite. I think it is one of the best tactics games out there. It totally holds up. It's fun to play on the Switch. If you haven't played it in 15 years, it's fun to go back to. If you've been playing Disgaea games for 15 years, you are probably already down to play it. If you haven't played it at all, you should check it out. If you haven't heard of it? I mean, like, you want a good... I think it's, as of this moment, the best tactics game on Switch. I know there's been a couple on the eShop, but this would be the best, in my opinion.
So when it releases next week for $50, what is your official verdict?
Yeah, that's a buy. That's a buy. If this is what you're looking for, I mean, this is, like, there is so much value in this game. Like, when I finished it, I did not finish it in the past week and a half. But my finished game, like, back in the day was probably, like, 70, 80 hours. And you can just keep going beyond that. Like, literal, you can squeeze hundreds of hours out of this game if you so choose. So it's a hell of a value. It's a lot of fun. It's great. It's a great game. It's classic.
Awesome. Sounds good.
Cool.
Well, that is it for this episode. Thanks again to everyone for coming on and hanging out and enjoying themselves with me for episode 420.
420.
Yeah, man.
Smoke them if you have them.
Dude, that was the point of the whole first half of the show.
You had them and then you smoked them?
Yes.
On
the show.
Fantastic.
Dude, I've been waiting for this episode for so long.
for 420 episodes, apparently.
That, should I say that's the entire reason I started the show, was just to have an episode 420?
Turn out the lights. Close it down! We're good. We're good on no more games are coming out. None that matter. We're good.
Shut this shit down.
Shut it off.
Well, do you have any final words to end the final episode of the show?
Oh, no, man. I got nothing. The final words for the final episode of the show. It's been great. It's been a lot of fun. It's too bad video games are going away with SML podcast number 420, but they were good while they lasted.
Up in smoke, that's where I wanna be. 'Cause I'm hanging out with Joe Kim and I gotta pee. I just ran out of Fritos and this show's just too long. So I take a toke, all my cares go up in smoke. Up in smoke, please do not damage my calm. I just got off a breakup phone call with your mom. She spent all my money, now I'm broke. So I take a toke, and all my cares go up in smoke. Up in smoke, dump the bong water in that bucket, because there's more to life than try it, buy it or fuck it. This show is normally depressing, except this week Jacob's here and that rules. So tune in for a stream that's at best half-assed. And don't climb that flight of stairs, or else you're gassed. This is episode 420 of the SML Podcast.
Still here. Can't believe it's already 3:30 p.m. Drunk all night with my friends again. Party all night with some bitches again. Blacked out early on till God knows when. Oh shit, I can't believe it. My car's on fire and my ears are bleeding. Try to gain composure but my mind is reeling. I think my dick is lost all feeling. What the fuck happened? I cannot remember. Haven't been sober since last December. I've been lit up like a fiery ember. And then I crashed harder than that one September. I think I am a little bit fucked. I think I used up all my luck. It feels like I've been hit by a truck. And now it's time to nap.
Last night, can't believe what I did. Something so bad, it's gotta be hit. 10 shots of Jaeger, a full case of beer. Why the fuck did I drink Everclear? Last night, can't believe what I did. Something so bad, it's gotta be hit. 10 shots of Jaeger, a full case of beer. How the fuck did we murder a steer?
Yeah! Trying not to pass out is the last thing I recall. Sipping on that last out, holding up a wall. How did I let them talk me into this? I think I'm seeing blood every time I take a piss. We crashed a couple parties, talked up a lot of bitches. Took her to the corner, and now my wiener itches. They found me on the floor of apartment 83 with the lady of the night, only she was hung like me. So now I am in jail, friends are nowhere to be found. And I think my cellmate Bubba's gonna fuck me in the brown.
Something so bad, it's gotta be hit. 10 shots of Jaeger, full case of beer. Why the fuck did I drink Everclear? Last night, can't believe what I did. Something so bad, it's gotta be hit. 10 shots of Jaeger, a full case of beer. Why the fuck is the stick in my ear?
Shit, Joe Cam's been making too many charges. Buying alcoholic beverages. Q has lots of crazy partying times. Enough for me to write some poopy doobity rhymes. You see, Dale is too hot, and Mustin is not. Cause his terroristic beard is gonna get us all shot. All I've been trying to do lately is get some fucking sleep. But these days I'm liking bitches making too many peeps. Please sit on my dick, please sit on my dick. Watch out not too much or you're gonna make it sick. Oh god, too late, I just came on your face. But it's not so bad, you got practice with your dad. Revenge is a dish served best on glass. I guess you'll have to take it out on my ass. But for now I'll just let you use your mind. Cause I think I just fucking ran out of time.
Last night, can't believe what I did. Something so bad, it's gotta be hit. 10 shots of Jaeger, a full case of beer. Why the fuck did I drink Everclear? Last night, can't believe what I did. Something so bad, it's gotta be hit. 10 shots of Jaeger, a full case of beer. The end of the song is here.
God damn it!